There's a show in town, it's going down. Every week we're back on solid ground. Steel toe slipping, but we're gripping. Got the tea to spill, it's always flipping. From April's scrim to Aaron's glee. Oh, this drama's just a spree. Polydrama, legal trauma. Another win, oh, that's the karma. This little piggy went to YouTube. This little piggy's on her own. Show. From revenge porn to felony, it's a circus, can't you see? The toe is bent, the goal is spent, his empire crumbles, all hell sent. April's playlist on repeat, Aaron's lies we can't defeat. The countdown's on, it won't take long to see this piggy squeal his song. This little piggy went to YouTube, this little piggy's on her own. Missing a thing, just sit back, laugh, and watch the king.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to This Little Piggy, a steel toe roundtable show about Minnesota's best up and coming morning show, and it's semen sucking seether, Aaron Imholt. I worked hard on that one, Carl. Are you proud of me?
I actually was, yes.
Good amount of sibilance there.
Yeah. We got Moody here from This Little Piggy. We got to get something else that you're known for.
Right. You say Moody from This Little Piggy, Moody from New Zealand.
Moody from Hackamania. He's at the live shows.
Hackamania's own.
Yeah.
Known for a live event that happens once a year. And Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. Hi, everybody. Welcome to This Little Piggy. Lots happening in the world of This Little Piggy this week, and I don't know where to start. Where do you guys think we should kick things off today? What caught your eye when it comes to steel toe?
The complete lack of mention of anything to do with that graph we had last week, I think, is notable. Like, he's not mentioned anything about that.
And didn't hide it. We should say a couple hours after the show, he went and turned off the ability for people to see when he was last online on Kiwi Farms, right?
Correct. So I think before the show, he was pretending like it wasn't a big deal because he thought all we were going to do was go through and read his post history. That's what he thought the attack, I guess, was. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't, we don't care. Like, go and write whatever you want on there. It seems like he cares very much about people seeing him as not an internet guy. He says,
it's interesting you bring up that he didn't bring up the tracking of his history, but he did several times this week accuse you and I of being perpetually online and never getting off the internet, which, again, everything just feels like projection. We know for a fact this guy, the only time he's not checking Kiwi Farms is the few hours of sleep he gets every night and while he's doing a show live.
And Aaron's so dumb, he probably thinks that's a manual process where Moody has an alarm go off and he checks, oh, I guess he's on there right now. It's an automated system. It's a script. It runs it for you. You have to be online the whole time.
And the few hours, you're saying that he doesn't, you said when he's sleeping, that's the the time that he doesn't check it. That's actually the second most common time when he doesn't. The most common time is when he's live on his show.
Right.
And then he sleeps for less than his show is long. Mm-hmm. So
when he is checking it in the middle of the night, you can see throughout the night. Do you think that's just him waking up to piss, or he turns over and grabs his phone and checks it and goes back to bed? Or sometimes I guess he is on for a significant time in the middle of the night.
Patrick, let's not forget, this guy has stress dreams. He has nightmares about the goal and will he be able to keep his show? We have to get a real job. He's talked about this in the past. So you know that he wakes up from one of these dreams and needs to cope and get some comfort with this thread that tells him, no, Aaron's killing it. Nick's an asshole. Thank goodness.
What is that life like, that disconnect between you telling everybody you're winning and you do the best show and you have the best numbers while constantly, we saw in the text from Nick, him saying, I have a barely burning career. He's not stupid. He's not an uneducated guy. So, there's no way he sees the numbers. He sees his money. He knows he has the barely make the goal every day. I mean, I can't even imagine living with that kind of like cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
It's like anyone who's been on the internet or has like done a show or anything like that knows how easy it is to like go down the path of getting lost in negative comments where you can spend your entire day arguing with people who don't like you or have things to say. Like, it's so easy to veer off and go down that path.
Yeah, let me interrupt you real quick. Hey, Peter Sky Parker, you motherfucker.
Do you happen to do a show with Peter Sky Parker? Do you host a show?
I do a show called Who Are These Podcasts? We recorded on Wednesday, my buddy Adam. Anyway.
So I think what's happened here is the opposite. He's found a place where these people go out of their way to like do any sort of mental acrobatics to get Nick to lose about something, which means he wins, I guess. So they try to... It's like when you watch, if you watch Keno Casino, every little thing, like they ring a triangle and they're like, whoa, everything is groundbreaking and earth shattering.
Yeah.
That's the sort of reaches these people are making in order to like say that Nick is losing, to the point where they're saying that, look, Aaron's winning. He's owning Nick. Like, they stoop
or
to
Keanu's
saying
that.
Wing.
Right. Yes.
Right. Like,
speaking of Keanu, like, so she is riding this train of 3 weeks ago owning Nick on this very program, or I guess was it 2 weeks ago? I don't even know at this point. Was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
2 weeks ago. By the way, we're back on my channel, so let the super tips flow, everybody. We do have a golden hand.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see Mike and Jules David talking about that?
Yes.
They felt bad for me.
They made all the money. They said that all mine are clearly fake. All my super tips are clearly fake. So we need to prove them wrong today. We got a leaderboard now. We got to get to the top of the super tip leaderboard. By the way, Chad Zumok just finished a show using super tip for the first time. The hate was palpable in his chat room. But guys, this was a test show. He's just getting it going and testing out the super tips. I'm sure he's going to be back with his new format next week called Z-Man versus the World, which I think he stole from Tom Myers.
He stole that from Tom Myers. That's the worst possible name.
Oh, well, to be fair, Tom Myers is more verbose, isn't it? Tom Myers versus the entire whole rest of the everybody.
Right, yes, yeah. Tom Myers has to make everything more words for some reason.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think Kevin's live now, really upset with Chad, but we want to welcome Chad to the Super Tip family. And if you want to super tip the program, supertip.gg/NLO. We have a goal to hit today. We can't do it without you guys. Aaron, every day, every Friday now, is bringing up this little piggy. It's made it into his, it's kind of made it into his weekly cycle, if you will, where he's like, every Friday he has to remind people like what this show is and why it exists and how pathetic we are for
guys who didn't play sports in high school. Now we're lashing out.
Right. Yeah. That's what I wanted to
do.
I think all of us play. Did you play sports, Carl?
I did. Yeah. I played soccer.
Yeah. All three of us played sports.
For a minute. Yeah. I got winded and quit.
Yeah. So sometimes it's funny how sometimes when he's talking about the Kiwi Farms thread, he'll say, everyone on the internet's seeing this and they understand what's going on here. Everyone on the internet agrees with me on this thing. Or he'll say just the opposite. Everyone on the internet's a nerd who got bullied in high school and they're lashing out and that's why they don't know what's up. So it's really nice when the whole entire internet can be either the villains or on your team at any given time.
And calling us terminally online as well. I know we covered it before, but he lobbies that constantly where he's the one that's terminally online. We've proven that.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Moody to get something done with Super Tips, and he's constantly telling me, like, in a few hours, and it's like,
I'm away from the computer. Like, I'm not on a computer.
Whenever I go online, it's just to look at sports scores, because I'm awesome.
Yeah, I still want to know what this website is. Is it sportscores.net? I always have sports scores.
What was his three websites? It was sports scores, Twitter, Kiwi Farms, and, Twitter. Right.
Yeah, he uses the web. He uses the web.
He still goes to twitter.com. Yes.
Yeah.
Who doesn't, Carl? Get off his back.
I thought I had a new URL.
Yeah, so I wanted to play this. This is a clip of him, I guess, today getting ahead of this little piggy. He doesn't know what we're going to talk about today. We don't know what we're going to talk about today. but he likes to bring it up. It's a great advertisement for the show, I guess, when he does this.
Yeah, see, there you go. Doom says, I played sports. Yeah, can't imagine watching foreign cartoons for fun. You know, people on the internet make fun of you for that because the internet's overpopulated by dorks.
Do people on the internet make fun of you for playing sports?
I've never seen any reference.
I don't even know what that. Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
I have no idea what he's talking about. And when I do research for some of the podcasts we review, they're like Dungeons and Dragons podcasts and like the biggest dorks on the planet. I don't see anyone in there like going, "Yeah, these idiots. They probably were the quarterback of their high school team."
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
People on the internet is such a wide net. It's literally everyone. Like this, yeah. You for every opinion you've come across, there's someone who holds the exact opposite opinion.
We've been talking about it a lot this week because we put up this Super Tip leaderboard. You can go to supertip.gg/leaderboard and kind of see over the past 24 hours, 7 days, 30 days, and all time who's made the most on Super Tip. And I've been saying, like, once this thing opens up and anybody can sign up for it, we should not even be anywhere near the top 10. Like, we are not big shows. We don't have giant audiences. This is not the internet. I'm very aware of that. I'm keenly aware of that. This is a very niche thing. There's not even a lot of room for growth. It's slow growth. Your show, Carl, WATP, you grow faster than the rest of us. You don't spend time just in the Dabbleverse, so you have a little broader appealing audience than even we do. But, like, Aaron thinks that, like, his... Like he says, he's box office. Aaron thinks that like him and Nick are like the talk of the internet.
Yeah, I remember when all of this went down, when he told his story, he would go on his show and he'd go, "Guys, I don't want to talk about this personal stuff, but I talk about the news of the day. And this is the news of the day." Like, he literally thought this was front page news for everyone who opened up their YouTube app.
He did. We'll get back to this clip in a second. But he did this thing this week, I guess, going back to Kiki riding this thing into the grave. Every one of her shows now mentions Nick Riccata in the title. She's got Nick in every thumbnail. She's getting some guy on. Are you familiar with this guy she's doing an interview with or did an interview with? I don't even know if they already did it. But Aaron said something this week. I talked with an investigator over the weekend about Nick Riccata and his domestic or spousal abuse or child abuse or something. And then it came out that Kiki was doing a show with this guy. I don't even remember the name because I don't know who it is.
Gabe something?
Gabe somebody? Okay, so do you anybody know who that is?
No idea. I just heard Aaron talking about him, and then I heard Nick bring him up this week.
So Nick said that this is a guy who's an investigator, and that's when it clicked for me. I was like, oh, this is the investigator Aaron talked with over the weekend. Aaron made it sound like he was speaking to the FBI or something about Nick abusing his wife. But now I understand in Aaron's speak what this means is like there's somebody who's nosy and butting into Nick Riccata's life, and Aaron spoke with him this weekend. So
I didn't even realize that. I thought investigator meant at a police station.
Exactly. But no, this
wants
is that
to think that
because Aaron
that said, would be a weird thing to say to be like, by the way, they're actively investigating him for domestic violence. Right. I happen to know that because I talked to them and interviewed with them. Like, that's not a thing that you would put out there, probably.
No, it means this Gabe guy is investigating Kiki or investigating Nick and his abuse. But to further speak to that point, like Aaron said, you can't help people being interested in this because it's been in the news. I'm not aware of a news story about Nick Riccata and his arrest.
There were some recent ones. So I think
you talking about Will Heron?
No. Fox 9, I think, wrote up an article about it, but it didn't go to air.
Was it about Aaron Imhol?
Nope, about Nick as well.
Okay, see, I wasn't aware of that. Okay, so there are some legitimate news outlets that have covered Nick Riccata.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. I was
throwing shade at Will as well.
I've also seen articles.
Fight piece.
There was a guy in Sweden who sent me a link to an article in his, you know, local news that talked about these YouTubers getting in trouble, and it was Aaron was on there, and Nick Riccata's picture was on there, and a couple other people from different worlds and stuff like that.
Showed up in New Zealand news as well. So yeah, this crazy. Is like, but that's like on the Daily Mail circuit where it's like our failing news companies get like a packet from other ones, and then they just put it into our
right. And isn't a lot of that like people? These are just independent journalists who throw stories up, and if they get clicks, they get paid. Like
can be that, or it can be just them circulating from the same source. So it's like if the Daily Mail does something, then there'll be all these smaller places around the world that just basically repeat it. So
okay, well then this is a win for the toe. Aaron's right. This is the news.
It is it's technically international news. Yes,
it's not Elon Musk saying that Trump was on Epstein Island, but it's there. It's somewhere.
Jesus Christ! All right, here's Aaron continuing.
The way they get. A lot of them hold grudges from high school, and this is the way they get even, is online. That's actually kind of what the Little Piggy show is. It's really the guys like me used to bully guys like that, so they go, let's obsess about this person.
This is another thing. I don't know. When I look at Aaron Imholt, what he's trying to say is, because we were nerds that didn't play sports in high school, mm-hmm. at age 45... I'm so triggered when I see a specimen of an athlete like Aaron Imholt that I get triggered, and therefore I started this roundtable show to make fun of him. That's what
I'm saying. I love when Aaron gets into psychology. He's very ignorant in a lot of areas, but psychology is maybe the best, and I'll never forget, because this is one of the when I was like trying to actually realize who Aaron was a year ago, and I was like, wait, what happened? What did he say? What's going on? When he said, guys, the reason why I put April through all of this is because I'm a narcissist and I realize that now I need to fix that. I can't do this again. And then he came back the next day and said, I went to a therapist. Turns out I'm not a narcissist. That's cleared up, moving on. That's when you're just like, Aaron, you don't know anything about psychology. You can't talk to us about what our motivation is here. You have no idea.
Even worse, because like a month later when he quit therapy, he said, I'm probably a better therapist than my therapist at this point. I don't need...
Which is what a narcissist would think.
He said his therapist laughed him out of the room, which is not what therapy's like.
Nope.
It's if you go to a therapist and you say, look, I have some narcissistic tendencies. I think I'm harmful to people around me. They wouldn't sit down and diagnose you with a personality disorder then and there. They'd be like, okay, let's dig into that. Why do you feel this? And it would take multiple sessions before you get to the bottom of what the issue is.
Isn't that funny? Like, in order to get this radio job back, he needs 28 meetings. But to discover that he has no psychological problems, it's just one session with a therapist. It's unbelievable.
And I just want to break down this premise even further. So, like, I'm fat and...
And have a hunchback.
Right.
Your face, so like, complexion is... Oh, I'm sorry. We're not listing things?
Let's dive into, like, what... NFL players look like. There's a lot of people on those lines who are.
You're actually built like a lineman. You're tall and large. Yes.
Tremendously overweight.
Yes.
No, NFL players aren't exactly the most healthy. Now, look, you get a quarterback every once in a while that's built like an Adonis, sure. But I'm just talking about like if you lined up the entire team. There's a lot of obese people on every NFL team.
You could have been a sumo wrestler. You could have been a lineman. I get it. There's two things you could have done athletically.
And then let's look at you, who's a different body type, next to Aaron Imholt. You're basically kind of the same guy. You both kind of like have a slimmer build, and you're wearing glasses, but he's going bald. And I'm just trying to figure out how the triggering would happen. I would see Aaron and go, that reminds me of athletes in high school.
Yeah, no, right, definitely not.
Angry.
Yeah.
It's different bald, though. Like Aaron's is flank, his forehead is flanking the invading army, whereas Carl's one is holding the line. they're all marching in line with each other.
And to be fair, he does have it kind of spread out today.
It's a wedge formation. So his hair is cavalry invading his face.
Because we hate... Like, I embody something they hate. Like, if you think that show's about me, it's about a lot more than that. There's a lot of trauma in here.
I think he's trying. I don't know whether he's trying to say that either he was a bully or that he was a jock. Maybe I
think
seems
both.
To, yeah. Right.
Yeah. I think so.
He's never struck me as jock. The person that he struck
me. I'm saying.
Yeah. So like I'm unashamedly, I did some sports, but unashamedly, I was a theater kid. That's what I liked. But he reminds me of the person that would turn up on the like closing night of a theater production that we'd worked months on, and then he would crash the after party to a production that he wasn't involved in at all. And it would be like, why is this guy here? Like, why is he around? That's Aaron to me.
Well, let's talk in reality. I appreciate your fan fiction, Booty, but the reality is, because he even came out and said this today, he goes, I played football, I was a defensive end, and I think he played center or something like that. And he said, I sucked at it. I was terrible at both positions. Just because you play sports in high school doesn't make you cool. There's tons of nerds who were on sports teams in high school who weren't very good at it and made the team, because in this day and age, everyone makes the team, go figure.
Yeah. First of all, just let him finish this real quick.
Abortion and bullying and all that stuff. But it is like on the internet, they treat it like an insult. Like a Doom or me who go like, yeah, we played a bunch of sports in high school. Bro, we don't play sports, so we're not cool. I mean, kind of, but like that's mostly your insecurity talking.
No one said that. You did. I love that thing where he says something that no one says. And he goes, yeah, man, that's your insecurity. I don't know what to tell you.
He's also doing that thing where I guess Doom said I played sports. So he's found another in with one of the Clippers that he's got this love-hate relationship with. He's constantly trying to get these Clippers on its side. Remember,
he said today Stalin 19 is doing a great job. I was like, okay, I watch all those videos. I don't know that you should like
all
it.
He's making fun of him. Yeah. It's insane.
The reason he likes Stalin 19 is because Stalin 19 clips a lot of Nick content, and his comment section has been taken over by people who hate Nick.
Farms.
And so it's Aaron looking out for safe spaces on the internet. That's his experience.
Before we get off this, though, real quick, getting back to playing sports in high school, which is one of the funniest things you could do, use that as a brag when you're in your 40s. Because one of the first things Chad Zumach ever said when we started making fun of him was, he goes, these guys are dorks, man. I played sports in high school. Chad's like, what, 5'3"?
Right.
Was he the star of the basketball team? That's what I mean. Like, he's not the Allen Iverson of Ohio, I'm guessing.
Well, and it's, and I know Chad and I are best friends now, but it's like he's got this Z-Man logo with the basketball in it.
Right.
It's like these guys who, another famous trope of these high school athletes or these bullies or these people who are so popular in high school, like Aaron Imholt, which again, take that with a grain of salt, but another one of the tropes with those guys is that they peaked in high school, that they could never live up to the reputation and the friendships and all the stuff they had in high school. And that's what I think about if Aaron was this jock, if Aaron was this bully, if Aaron was going around knocking lunch trays out of people's hands and taking lunch money and, always being the guy people cheered for as he walked down the hallway in his jersey on Fridays and, like that kind of thing. Like, well, it's been going downhill since then, no? Like, I mean,
yeah, bragging about high school is never the own you think it is. And that's what's so funny about this. Like, oh, these guys are still butter from high school. I don't think about high school at all. Not a single moment of any day of my life. I've never been to a high school reunion. I ran into people at an event this past weekend I went to high school with. I didn't recognize them. I didn't know their names. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm not even like, it sounds like you were hurt, Carl. This actually is.
No, not at all. I just, when I was done with high school, I was done with high school. Moving on.
Yeah, I didn't go to my high school reunion either, but there's definitely like, look, you had friends there. Like,
I still have friends from high school. I like those people. I don't care about the rest of them.
Yeah, it's a window of your life when you're not even the person you're going to become. It would make sense that you're not going to remain friends with a bunch of other, half-baked brownies. Like that doesn't make any sense. It's not how life works. You meet new people in every, thing that you get into as an adult. And that's what you would think. Aaron does this thing with Paul Shea, which is hilarious, about high school. He said, we grew up together.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I guess if in the sense that, like, you were both in the same, 20-mile radius and were growing up, I guess you grew up together. But
I had a decent time in high school. I liked the majority of it, but it when you go to high school, that's your whole world. Like, nothing feels bigger than things happening at high school. But then as soon as you leave, and if you go to a university, you'll travel the world, you realize how small that space is. Like, it's nothing. It's doing the tutorial level. Like, that's what that is. And Yeah.
You think that because Aaron didn't go to a university, he went to a 2-year college.
Oh, yeah.
You think that maybe he didn't get some of the further development that comes after those high school stages that you get in college? Because in college, you do. It is like it's like accelerated high school, and you're learning more adult dynamics. You're learning, you know, college doesn't beat around the bush as far as like aiding you with like grades and giving you like a handout, like. A lot of high school classes and teachers are more nurturing. College professors don't give a fuck. Like, they're like, sometimes they're not even there. It's just a TA running the class. So like, it is like Excel. It's like an on-ramp to adulthood. So maybe if you don't have that, you know,
it's also less you're figuring out, you need to figure out who you are. So I think in high school, if you join an activity or you run with a group of people, that's your identity. It's like, it's a shortcut to friends and things to do. The further away you get from high school, the more active effort you need to put into both developing who you are as a person and choosing your social circles. They don't come automatically anymore.
Yeah, so man, that's a good point. In high school, your friends are the people who were your friends in middle school, who are the friends you had in elementary school. Like,
or the guys in your baseball team, or the guys team. In English class, or like, you're grouped together with people all day, every day. And so you automatically form friendships. And then when you get out into the real world and you don't have any like interests outside of golf and being on the radio.
And it's so much easier. Like, it's so much easier to make friends in those environments than it is later on. Like, the older you get, the harder it is to like meet new people and form relationships. So, but he's bragging about a time in his life which was easy. Like, it's the tutorial level. He's like, notice how it did so well. I beat stage 1-1. Like,
you're learning the game mechanics. If he's this tremendous athlete and he's this sports specimen, as he claims to be, which it does feel like overcompensating at some point, how much he's into football and stuff like that. And Carl, I know you're a Bills fan and you're super into your teams and stuff, but like, it feels more with him. It feels like more of a core identity. He comes on his show and is in a bad mood if the team didn't do well and this kind of stuff. It affects him tremendously. And if you were that good of an athlete, if you were that great, when you translated that into adulthood and your adult activities, which we know he tried to wrestle for a while and wasn't good at that, and then he pivoted to boxing and he's 0-2 in boxing. Where's the success there? You're an athlete and we're angry at you because you're this jock.
Wow. Let me stop you right there. I got to play devil's advocate. This is a roundtable discussion. He did win the cornhole tournament last year at his own event.
Okay.
Right.
So he's got that going.
He's got those he's doing beanbag curls.
Yeah. Pretty good with that.
Underhand all right. Tossing. Well, he's good at underhanded activities. So. Yeah.
I want to start
reach
off
around
show.
Cornhole.
He has been
contacting people's bosses.
Since he got back from vacation, he's been really struggling with the goal. He's missing every other day.
Oh no.
He says he hasn't missed in weeks. But again, it's really gotten this perfect week thing and whether we hit the goal or not and streaks, it's all gotten very wishy-washy.
I hope he's not putting too much pressure on the evening audience, because those guys, you know, their backs are hurting.
Yeah, they've been carrying it.
They have been.
He's not keeping track of it anymore, so it's becoming harder and harder to know when he's lying. My guess is just if he's talking, he's lying. But this is a clip where he was having some trouble. I think this was Monday or Tuesday. And before we play this clip, I do want to point this out because it's going to come up here in a later clip. Is there a tooth missing?
Yes.
There seems to be
a bottom line. I have a couple extra.
Yes, same.
But just keep that in mind for a clip coming up. But this is just one of our favorite panicky moments of Aaron M. Holt. Here we go.
Well, you know what? I could spend more time on this story, but I have to browbeat my audience hoping that they will throw in the $100 we need.
He's explicitly abandoning a segment. I could spend more time on this story. I could spend more time doing content.
But it's okay because he got out in front of it.
It's so time it for the goal. It's time for the goal, guys, and I have to beat my audience into giving me.
Get a win today. 25 minutes left to go. Two losses in a row. We haven't notched a single win for the morning show this week. Sure would be nice if we could. Streamlabs, PayPal, Venmo, Super Chats, Rumble Rants, gifted memberships. Even if we do notch a win today, it's going to be a bit of a soiled one because I had to
Can you pause it?
Johnny is.
You know what part of the problem? I love watching Johnny whenever he's talking about the goal. It's the most entertaining thing. You know, part of the problem when you're trying to raise $350 is that number in the corner over there of how many people are watching his show.
Mm.
He might be asking a little bit too much of his audience if everyone has to average over a dollar each, everyone who's watching.
Right.
Seems like a lot.
I keep hitting refresh. Nothing's happening. Oh, boy.
You know what I noticed, too, and this has been brought up before, but when he does the Streamlabs, Venmo, PayPal, there doesn't exist anywhere in the show link for the goal or in his description a link to those places to donate.
Oh, is that true?
Where do you go on Streamlabs? Just saying the name of a platform doesn't help me give to you.
Yeah, we've talked
about that.
It's
on the pinned comment usually. So yeah, I have reached it before.
Most times it's not. I have seen it there. Yeah. But every time I check, it's not. There'll be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, do you know what his Venmo is?
I have no idea.
Is it at Steel Toe Media or Steel Toe Entertainment or Steel Toe Inc.? It's one of those three.
Sure. So do you know how to give to him now? Like, I mean, no. It really is crazy as I think about this. But he's in that. He just says it.
Can. Let's see if we can get a W. I'm going to try and stay in good spirits. But
always the quiet part out loud. Always the don't panic, Aaron. Positive. Don't let him see you sweat.
Yep. Let's fake this. I'm doing totally fine, guys. Thanks for asking.
He literally does this.
Okay.
Also, wasn't he also dropping weight? He said he was like a few pounds away from being at the fighting weight.
It's like 215. It's a fighting weight. Yeah.
Right. If anything, it looks like he's gained weight. Since
he's getting doughier in the face.
Right.
For sure. Or gravity is not his friend. Something's going on.
I follow at facts on Twitter, and it's like every 10 minutes, it just tweets like an interesting fact. You know, it just kind of a like breaks up the
wow, sounds really cool.
Yeah, shut up. It breaks up the toxicity of Twitter, and I do enjoy it. But one of the ones it did this week, which I found interesting, is if you're not sleeping well, a lack of sleep can cause you to gain 2 pounds a week. I didn't know that. Sounds interesting.
Well, you lose a lot of weight while you're asleep. It comes out as carbon dioxide, actually. But it's you breathe out.
Fucking movie.
You breathe out your fat.
Can we bring up one thing you don't know everything about?
Shut up. I have him. He's a goddamn national.
I just ask Dr. Steve. He will confirm. But yeah, sleeping is a great way to lose weight. But he hasn't been. So when you stay up,
yeah, you know, because he eats macaroni salad while he's in bed. So maybe if he's not sleeping, he's losing weight because he's not reaching over for carbs.
That's what it is. So if you stay up, you're more likely to get hungry and eat, but also you're not. Yeah.
Also, if you're tired, your body wants energy, and so you eat more.
Yeah.
You feel hungry if you're tired and you're not sleeping well.
And he's definitely not sleeping because we've seen those records of him sleeping no longer than 2.5 hours every night, which is, I don't know how you're able to function with that little sleep. Four hours, okay. Like, I can see like a very high performance person who's genetically skewed to not being he can get away with very little sleep, maybe 4 hours, but 2.5 seems well outside the balcony.
4 hours, I think, is why they recommend 8 hours of sleep. I think 4 hours is like a full cycle of REM sleep. Like
it's a couple of them, yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. There's something to 4 hours I've read about sleep, but I know a lot of people who say I can live with 4 hours of sleep and function fine and get a lot of work done. And then when you're up at those hours, right, the only thing open to eat, like you said, if you get hungry, is Taco Bell fourth meal or gas station garbage. Mm-hmm. Or right, Rocco? Fucking Rocco.
All right. And we do a better show than everybody. And it's just fucking more entertaining and funnier and more smiles. It's like,
more smiles. I didn't know we were tracking smiles per minute. Moody, do you have a graph?
Funny you should say that, because I have been working on something. I heard Jenny Jingles last week ask Carl, what did Moody chart? How happy Aaron's been throughout the show?
Oh, no.
I am cooking up a new graph. I thought it would be ready for this week. It's not, but maybe next week. Mood analysis.
My channel. They'll put anything good on Carl.
I have been writing mood analysis on Aaron and Johnny.
That's interesting, because what Aaron's doing right now is literally that meme of the guy seething with the smiley face mask in front of that. Right. Like he's saying it out loud. He's saying it right now. He's like, guys, I'm not going to panic. I'm going to have fun with this, but we do a great show. It's the best show there is. I don't know why people aren't giving us more money. He's pissed.
It's the hallmark of every meme
that we play. This
gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
He's like, I don't get it. We do the best show. We have the best numbers. We have more fans. What's not working?
I love it when, like, you have a show like Game of Thrones. Like, in the middle of it, Tyrion Lannister turns to camera and goes, we're the best show. We're doing it so well. Like,
right. You don't have to tell the people. They'll tell you. Like,
every good show talks about how good the show is.
Spirits. But fuck, this is not good. All right. And we do a better show than everybody. And it's just fucking more entertaining and funnier and more smiles. It's like, I need more retards in my audience. Because all these other shows, they got retards that go, the thing.
He says we have more smiles on our show than others, and Johnny is powering down.
Every time he goes on a donation drive, Johnny powers down.
I said it last week. It looks like he goes into battery saving mode. Like, he's like, I don't need to pay attention.
Also, nobody smiles more than retard. So maybe he's on.
Meanwhile, you do the best show out there. Your audience is too fucking smart. They're like, I don't know. I'll wait till.
By the way, this is a guy who's not gone to therapy. He hasn't fixed himself. He's seeing a problem that exists in his life, and he's blaming it on his audience.
Right.
Once you sit there and go, all right, if my goal is to make a certain amount of money every day, then how do I need to structure my show to get the right people here who also want to give money to it? Instead, he just goes, we're doing the best thing ever. It's amazing. And you guys are the problem. You guys are fucking dumb.
It's never the lens. The world is upside down.
Right. Yes.
Like, we have... Our listeners are too smart. Scram. Get out of here. Well, you need to make room for retards in this music hall. This doesn't make any sense.
The idea that you would never look inward and think that maybe there's something you could be doing better is someone who has a low EQ. Like, Aaron doesn't understand how the world works. And that's sad. He's 38 years old. He's going to need to figure it out soon.
It's coming.
Maybe. He was so close when he said he was a narcissist. He's like, I realize why I put April through this. I shouldn't have put her on the show, but I'm a narcissist. I was like, okay, good. He's figured that the next day. Oh, God.
He's there thinking, like, what if they just made a high school for adults? That'd be so cool.
Yeah. He's like, I got the new sign. What's the problem? Where's the money? It's like, I've been working on myself.
Yeah.
Labs, PayPal, Venmo, Super Chats, Rumble Rants. There is an easy way to avoid this part of the show every day. Knock it out earlier.
He did.
Or
he did.
You can get a job. Like, that's another way to end it.
This is what Cardiff's been harping on chat about.
Yes.
Like, look, man, this is a nice little hobby. It pays for your Netflix. But you should just be behind a counter somewhere asking, why are we? That's what you need to be going.
It was great because he's playing clips of Chad going, I don't have any other choice but to get on Super Tip. I've been demonetized. There's nothing else I can do here. My back is against the wall. Cardiff's like, you just get a job like everyone else. Everyone just works a job. They don't beg for money on the internet.
You can turn the show into a hobby. That's fine, Aaron. Like, you might find joy in it again.
He has said that if he takes on a real job, he'll stop doing a show completely. He'll never do his show if it's just a hobby or just a side gig, which is proof that he's not having fun. Like, I definitely would continue to do my show if I didn't make money. That's how I started doing my show.
And you wouldn't let it get to a point of desperation where, like, if your money got cut off, you'd immediately be in a tailspin of, like, fuck, the electric bill's due next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people always get themselves into that situation, too, where it's like, you know, Chad, and not to just harp on Chad, because, again, we are best friends now. But
understood.
He quit podcasting twice a couple weeks ago. He told everybody he had more money than Rob Saul. He could buy a house next to your house for cash.
Mm-hmm.
He could drive to Atlanta anytime he wants to. He has that kind of gas money.
Yeah.
But then, you know, then he loses his monetization, and it's like, fuck. Fuck. Yeah.
I this might have been Cardiff, or someone made the point that he hasn't even felt the consequence of this yet. Like,
right.
The AdSense check won't be until the 21st of the next month coming up when right. He realizes, like, oh, shit, my money's not coming in.
Yeah. Speaking of money coming in, we should probably check on that. You know what? Fuck me. I didn't set up OBS virtual camera for that. I suck.
No.
Hold on. I can do it real fast. I'm not
okay.
Done.
Do you want me to play a clip while you're doing that? Or would that make it more difficult? Okay.
Shut the fuck up, Carl.
No, that's a good point. You're bringing us a good point.
See that little blink? We're done. We already did it. I'm good. I'm good at this, I think.
Hi, honey. Have fun with your friends.
Thank you. That's my wife. She's always with me to have fun with my friends.
Carl, I hear you are an abortion guy. Just another lollipop, silky boy. You know, silk comes from the butts of Chinese worms.
Good point.
I did hear you were an abortion guy. We have a clip of that.
We want to talk about that, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I want to talk about that, too.
I have two clips of Aaron's thoughts about you, Carl, specifically.
Great.
I don't know what you've done to him lately, but you've pissed him off.
Well, I host a show called This Little Piggy. It's on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Should have plugged that while you were on Alex Stein's show.
I did twice!
Stephanie says, fake super tip. Thank you, Stephanie. This all goes towards the leaderboard.
Aaron is so right. Not having kids makes you a bad and hopeless person. Mrs. Duke, Muda, and I have been day drinking all day at bars and headed to a nice steak dinner tonight. Damn this childless life.
Yes. The worst. You wouldn't be able to afford all those fancy custom shirts, Hunter Duke, without without your
kids.
Free cash flow.
Waver. Oh, it's Waver, my boy. Wherefore art thou, Waver? It's now, will you get pink box in New England? Please, Waver, do not fail me, my number one son.
The one thing I'm seeing about Hackamania that everyone is missing is the pink box donuts. They got hooked on that sugar rush in the morning. They love that place.
I stayed away. I didn't eat a single one.
Nope.
You didn't eat one donut?
Nope.
That's what's wrong with me. God damn it. Is that why I'm inflamed?
Carl's an abortion guy. I thought he was a boner guy.
Yeah.
It can't be one without the other. Like,
that's right. Oh, I was a boner guy.
That's what Carl said on his show this week. He's a fucking guy. He was a boner guy.
That's not what I said. I said the condom broke. And Adam said it's because you're a boner guy, not an abortion guy, which is very
small,
funny.
Right? You were trying to stretch it over that hog of yours, and it just burst.
Guys, we were all 17 at the time, right? We all know how this works.
Yo. 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 My wiggers. Aaron gunning for my throne. As the biggest liar in the Dabbleverse, I need to step up my game. For example, I'm a professional podcaster and very talented.
Yeah, you need to step it up.
2 days ago, I saw a vehicle that would haul that tanker. You want to get out of here? You talk to me.
What are you, Moody Max or something?
Fuck yeah.
What's he talking about?
I don't get it.
I don't even get it.
I remember rolling up to high school in my IROC Z28. Denim jacket collar popped, blasting White Snake. The 80s was a glorious time. Smashing nerds, getting quim. You guys are just haters.
Yeah, I remember those were the days, man. Just blowing people off because you had to go return some videotapes. I get it.
I didn't rewind back there. I go, fuck.
The Outland Sandwich sounds like a far cry from Marty McFly, Carl.
Listen, the difference between me and Marty McFly is
the
that
condom broke.
my band did get into the Battle of the Bands. His band was too damn loud. And I didn't hang out with a weirdo scientist guy. That would be inappropriate.
Oh, wow. Are you calling Doc Brown a pedo?
It's odd. It's odd that his best friend is Marty McFly. I'm just saying.
We all had a teacher in school that was like a mentor. And, you know, you would hang out after class,
hang out with,
and lock the door and block the windows. Jay Loiterer, Melton, I think you would remain friendly with half-baked brownies. Yeah, that sounds good. They sound gooey. I like that. AO1012, we saw you at Hackamania. Relax on the weight loss tips, Moody.
It's, look, those pictures were a wake-up call. It's under control. Don't worry.
You're athletic if you just take into account that you're shaped like every ball.
Right.
It counts. The ghost of Mr. P, Melton should go full Walt Disney then. I don't know what that was in reference to. Any clues?
Don't remember now.
Okay. Here's one more clip of Aaron. This time, miraculously hitting a goal when he was down by 170. Did you guys see this week? Out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
A $170 donation came in. That's more than half of the goal.
Oh, my God. Dub, that message you just wrote looks like the state of our goal right now. It's just... $170 miss. That's
yikes.
That's a message, and I need to figure out what.
Hey, you'll never get it.
Yeah, I know.
You'll shred it.
You'll figure out it's their fault, not yours.
Message is it might be that this whole morning show experiment is in a lot of trouble because
experiment
by a hundo.
This is his identity as the morning radio guy. This is an experiment now.
Again, also it. You do the best show, you have the best numbers, you have the best audience, more smiles than any show out there.
Yep.
Can you imagine, Carl? Let's say you go to do WATP, or, you know, we have 1,000 people watching right now, this little piggy. Let's say we fired this up one Friday and 200 people were tuned in.
Yeah.
How long do you think we would spend?
7 more years.
With our heads in our hands. No, on that program, how long would we spend just going like, fuck, maybe we got to rethink this.
He
goes from one day telling everybody how he's the best and he kills it and their numbers are better than everybody to the next day, like, maybe this is over. Maybe I'm done.
Because that's what he's really thinking. See, right. this is reality. Like, he understands reality. We learned that when he talked about his career in December of 2023 in a private message. So he knows what's actually going on. So when he talks about all the bravado that he has, he talks about how amazing he is and how he's crushing it. And we're all scared pussies who didn't play sports in high school. And we're so bitter about that. All of that is fake. This is what's really going on in his mind.
Right.
We're missing the goal. This is an experiment. It's a failed experiment. And I got to figure something else out.
Well, it goes back to something I said a couple weeks ago. It's like the guy has no baseline. He can't just be here. It's up, it's down. We're seeing down right now.
But bipolar. He's a bipolar broadcaster.
Exactly. Watch how much this flips in a minute.
It's because you're looking at the wrong part. The show is not. The show is not the fun for him. The fun is making money,
right.
And the show is a means to an end that he's convinced himself is the only thing he can do. So when you flip it around in that way, he starts to make a lot more sense.
Right. That's not Moody. We know very recently he's told us other things he could do. He was looking up voiceover jobs. He went and checked out sales jobs.
To make money because
sales job overnight. He said he'd be great at it. So you're cutting him short.
He says that because he is with SP at the moment and that's what her job is. And he could do the job that a woman does. Like that's right. Where his head's at.
I can tell you guys, and I think this would be good for him. He'd be successful at it. If he went to a car dealership, he'd be the sales guy wearing like the Vikings tie as a little conversation starter. Oh, you're a Vikings fan, huh? Well, you know, for a fellow Vikings fan, I could probably get you a better rate than I normally would on this 5-year loan. You also look really good in that car.
I got you a touchdown on that interest rate. Let's put a dream in a driveway. Huh? What do you say?
Oh, you've done that job before, I see.
He's he'll turn the chair around and sit on it backwards and be like, let me level with you, guy. Like,
right. Backwards. Right. He'll be like, oh, there's a lot of paperwork. You don't have to do this, man. I know you're good for it. Let's just throw that right off the table. Let's get you out of here.
Like, while you're sitting down, he'll put one leg up on his chair and like lean over and be like, look, I was out the back and I think I could get you a good deal. Like, if you just stick with me, we could do it.
I
like,
he to the finance manager.
Right.
He doesn't want me to tell you this.
They're gonna kill me if if you tell anyone about this.
He squeaked it out yesterday by screaming for money, and we're short by 170. I'm not gonna put this 170 on the evening show. I'm really not. I can't do that to them. They've been so crazy fucking supportive of this show.
How does that work? I'm not going to put this on them. I'm not even going to mention it.
I don't know, man.
Like, if someone tries to give tonight, we're going to be like, please, please.
Here's that 170 you needed. You weren't supposed to know about that.
Right. Hold on. Are you cheating on the evening show and watching the morning show?
Who told you?
I might just eat that 170 and just hope for the best.
This is the other thing. We've watched him before. Okay, we know for a fact sometimes he fakes donations. He said before that Sketty Tooth John gave him $200 when she didn't. So there's been like verified known people say like, that's not true. I didn't do that. He's doing it as a cheeky, like, fuck that lady. You know, like he's doing it as a troll. Mm-hmm. But we know he does that. We know he's done that in the past. We also know that when he's been short in the past, he'll say, I'm sending in $50. I'm sending in $80 to meet the goal. I'll pay it. Why do this? Why ever lose? Why not just say, I'm sending in the 170? Don't worry about it. We hit the goal again. Why ever lose?
Because I think he gets thrown out. When he's off by this much, he's not ready for it. He doesn't have a game plan. He doesn't know. You're seeing a man freaking out right now.
And this is why you'll never make it in sales and marketing, Patrick. It's because he needs to show urgency. Like, he needs to let the listeners know that if they don't personally contribute, the show and then by extension lose. But when it's 170, it's way beyond what that is. But he never wants to make it go to zero, because if he's like, we hit it, guys, don't worry about it, that's his nightmare, because no one would give money at that
point. Well, we see what happens when he hits a goal early on in a show. It's check out. Sometimes he goes like, maybe we should get out of here early. Or like, it's all, you're right. It is all about the money. Fuck the show.
Right.
And the minute if he says like, if we hit the goal, I'll stay till 11 today, and then I'll hit the goal at like 9:42. Well, that hour and 18 minutes is going to be just the most phoned. You can tell he wants to get the fuck out of there. And usually he does leave early.
Or the weather is really nice today. I don't want to stick around and do a show. Right. So I'm just here to get money. And then I'm going to go. Like, it's
spend my money. Yeah.
It's like the show is just a vehicle for him to get money. And that's it. He's a money guy.
He's a money guy.
383 Novocaine with $2. Guys, we're going to need a lot of movement. Please, please, if you could knock out this 170, 5-10 at a time, just a few of you. I'd really appreciate it. This is
just 85 more of those, and then we'll be.
It's actual panic on his face.
Yeah,
like he's panicked.
This is a bad L. This is, if you hate Steel Toe and you're going to celebrate today,
and you can see in the bottom right, he's got 313 people watching.
Yep.
These are his YouTube numbers.
But he also thinks that we celebrate this. Like, are we celebrating this on the show? No, we're analyzing what's happening as he's realizing he's not making the money that he needs.
Because you tell us you do the best show. You tell us that you make more money than everybody. And now you're in an abject panic. I mean,
imagine if any of us on our shows did this one time. I've never done this one time in my life on a show, and he does it all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah. The thing is, he sets up these parameters for himself. No one here is saying like, oh, you need to make this amount of money, otherwise you lose. He says that to himself, demands that of his audience, and then gets panicked when they don't hit it. It's like you're watching the gameplay itself. It's
a prison of his own making.
Right.
He's designed the game. He's laid out the rules. And then he still loses.
Right.
Can you imagine any game where you got to control everything and still lost? Like, you suck at this. You suck at goal.
Well, he's also created a schedule that sucks for him. He has to be up at 6 a.m. every day, then he has to go back and do another show that night, and he has to do that 3 days in a row, and then he's back up at 6 a.m. the next day after that.
And he has kids 50% of the time.
I know. I wanted to talk about that. That's crazy.
Because he thinks to get more money, you have to stream more. And he can't fathom, like, just do a morning show and make it 500, or, like, he's never
Or make it special when you're online. Make that a special event. People are like, oh, I got to tune in. He's Two Toes Online. I told him that years ago when I went on his show and he interviewed me. I told him exactly that. I'm like, dude, you can't possibly be putting on a great show if you're on 8 hours a day.
I get a lot of shit. People say, you know, Patrick hasn't done a show in 2 days or whatever. I'd much rather have that, people clamoring for more of me, than people not being able to keep up with me. Like, who's watching all this toe? Like, who can?
Honestly, no one.
His schedule's retarded, but I can't imagine the listener who's like, I don't miss a moment of Steel Toe. It's like, that doesn't exist, does it?
And you've been saying this for a while now, Patrick, but I was tuning in to the Rumble show this morning, and I don't usually watch a lot of the stuff outside of what people clip. And it's crazy that his show, he doesn't know what it is anymore. It's like talking about the news, and he gets deep into Nick Rakata stuff, and he's saying names, you know, Mama K and stuff. Like, I follow this stuff very closely, and I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
And he's constantly telling us, like, he can't do that local drama or YouTube drama or Twitter drama or Kiwi Farms drama because it's not wide enough. It doesn't have the appeal of what he does. He always tells us nobody can do a show like I do with topics and stories. But we've watched you. You abandon those to beg. You abandon those. These comments, I assume every one of these things pretty much is a troll now because they just say something about Nick or April or whatever, and it just gets him off.
Yep.
He gets into 30-minute-long arguments with haters in his chat room. It's like, what are you doing? Because, like, there's no understanding that, like, that person's never going to be on your side, idiot. They're just fucking with you. And you took the bait. And now you're yelling at the pants maestro for 20 minutes. It's like, what are we doing?
Are you talking to Nick Rakata right now? Because he also needs to learn that lesson.
Yeah, the same. And I've told Nick that. And I say that all the time. It's like, you act like these people are arguing in good faith.
Also, the amount of prerequisite watching you need to do. To be a Steel Toe fan, you need to not only watch all of Steel Toe, but you also need to be on Kiwi Farms. You need to be on Twitter, following all the accounts that he follows and reading what they have, and be on the Steel Toe Boring Show subreddit, and be in the Discords, and in the Toe Boys Facebook group. Like, it's a whole lifestyle.
And watch Meme Copium,
to understand everything that he mentions, because it's just so deep. He started to go off on a Reddit comment that I left, like, on a Reddit post that did not get many views at all. He was claiming that I was trying to dox this Mama K lady, which was not the case. I don't know why he thought that was the case, but, like, he's so deep.
Does he think
stuff.
That's the case? So, again, because I heard that too. I heard that too, where he's just like, yeah, these guys, they get to a place where I'm winning so bad they have to start doxing people.
Right.
And I think he knows he's lying. He must, right?
Yes.
He wants his audience to think that we're the villains, we're the bad guys who are out there doing all this nefarious shit, when it's really just the opposite.
Well, I have a confession to make. There'll be, like, days I take off shows and I come back and he's like, yeah, and the Onions are mad because Patrick's got them all over there trying to dox Mama K. And I'm like, I don't know who Mama K is. I don't even, like, I've never been more checked out of what's happening with Steel Toe. Nick and Steel Toe and Mama K and Josh Kiwi Moon, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not on Twitter all day reading all the fights. I don't
the big news of this week.
You haven't told me about it. I don't know what's going on, and that's all boring to me. I want to get back to the goal.
Like, we haven't talked about it yet, but the big news of the week was this body cam notes coming out. And then these still images from the body cam footage at Nick's place. And Aaron's taking victory lap after victory lap, reading through the firsthand accounts, people who actually saw the body cam when they went down and watched it. And then Nick was showing photos, but apparently he was showing photos from another thing that was after the body cam footage. And so that was another big L for Nick. And everyone was, I don't even know if that's true or not. That's just what everyone's saying.
Right.
Yeah. And so everyone's ragging on Nick for trying to pretend that this was different than what actually was seen.
Yeah,
so,
I haven't touched any of that stuff because it's not interesting.
Right.
It's interesting to me.
That's my point.
Shit.
Right. Aaron, by the way, that is my point. That's like, for Aaron, that's like the biggest thing that's ever happened and his biggest W of all time. And it's like, yeah, we don't care about this shit. This was never.
It's getting hard to draw that line of like knowing where outside of Aaron's orbit you need to draw the line to like understand what's going on in Aaron's life. Like, because yeah. There was like, You need to expose yourself to Nick in a certain amount just to understand the things that Aaron's going through. But going too far into that world isn't something I'm too interested in either. Like, I don't want this show to start being about Nick or anything like that. Right. This is our guy. This is who we're looking at. But
or the argument again. Like, this is two guys who this woman has wrecked. You know, April has just wrecked these men. It's insane to me.
Poor Kayla. No one's fighting over Kayla after.
Or SP. Who gives a fuck about SP? If I'm SP and I'm watching how hurt my man is, I'm like, what's going on?
Yes. If I'm SP and I hear that, you know, in the intro, and I know that Aaron said I was crying about this and how excited, I promise you I was not. I'm not concerned about it at all. But if I heard the intro, you're calling your ex a co-core, I'd be like, what are you going to say about me if we break up? At some point, like, why would you date a guy who does shit like that? He's vindictive. He was the same way with Ashley until there was a restraining order, so he couldn't say anything bad about Ashley.
And then he slipped and did, wish she was dead, fantasized about a listener killing her and fucking to it, and April masturbating to it. It's just gross.
These court orders did not talk shit about Kayla or Ashley. The only person he's allowed to talk shit about is April, and he goes hard in April. He's still going hard in April. It's just like, what woman would want to date this guy? What a piece of shit.
Also, what do you want April to do at this stage? She's hasn't said anything. Do you want her to come back and say, like, what's she got to do to be away from it?
Yeah, what is his end game with, like, he's running her name through the mud so hard. He's just been doing it for a year plus.
It's
what
escalating.
Is your goal here?
It's escalating to a point where I think April might end up coming back just to put a stop to it. Because
do you think she was in the Kiwi Farms?
No, absolutely not. So there was someone put up a post on Kiwi Farms in Nick's thread under the username April A, and it was like paragraphs long, and people were like saying, "Is this real? Is this not real?"
Well,
I can tell you,
Aaron was reading it and going, "Whoa! How would someone know this? Whoa! How would someone know that?" Like, he was making it seem like it could be real.
He even started arguing. He said, "I don't think it's real," and then he started arguing with it.
Right?
Yeah. The thing I can tell you about why it's not real is it feels there's zero mention of Aaron in all of it. It feels like it was written by someone obsessed with Nick and only knows April through her interactions with Nick. Mm-hmm. And they wrote that in that thread. April
that would make
wouldn't
sense.
Be able to navigate Kiwi Farms. She wouldn't go to the Nick thread. She'd write it on her Twitter or something like that. And she would also talk about the abuse of that's coming her way from Aaron. Like, that would be the thing that's top of mind.
No, what April should do, April should get in touch with us and say how much for an interview on this little piggy.
Right. Yes.
Because April could make a good chunk of money if she wanted to come back for one.
There's a world where we could get together 25 grand or something.
I wasn't going to go that fucking high. Jesus, you're terrible at negotiating.
No, you got to learn from Trump.
No, we could probably give her $500 if she wanted to come on.
No. There's a world where we could easily, I imagine, in a couple days.
He said 2,500. He didn't say 25,000.
No.
Jesus Christ.
25,000.
Fucking suck, man.
Because under the right guidance, with the prepared enough analytical interview, there's no one who could cause more damage to this guy with stories and inside information and just because when you live with somebody, it's like, it's why people say don't talk shit about your exes and like it's just an unspoken rule, but he's too bitter. He's too insecure to let anything like that go. And it comes back to fair play for those people to come forward and tell their side of the story.
It comes back to what I was talking about before with EQ, like his emotional intelligence level, when he started dropping all that gossip and you went, well, they're going to have their sides of the story too. Mm-hmm. And they do. And now Nick's coming out with all of this shit about Aaron. And listen, I don't want to get too involved in, like he said, that's all of that's crazy. But Aaron deserves to have April, Kayla, and Nick all come out and say just as much shit and all the details as he did about them.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. And it would wreck Aaron because Aaron's been so carefree and reckless with all his stories. And we know a lot of it's hyperbole. A lot of it's even fabricated. For those people to come out and just tell the truth would damage him irreparably, I believe. Like it would be very bad for Aaron.
There's a world where April comes on a show like this and she goes, listen, I'm still in love with Nick. I still have not gotten over him. That's why I was so upset the way that things went down. Aaron's human garbage and I hate Keanu. That could very well be where April's coming from.
You just need to break her up with her current boyfriend to make that happen. Find out where he works and
Just to catch you guys up so that you know where this Kay stuff is from, just the cliff notes of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kay is the person that Will Heron interviewed a while back. You know that interview he did without his teeth with the karaoke in the background?
I didn't even know that. I didn't even put that together.
So that's
heard pretty antisocial talking about this.
This is Mama Kay?
Mama Kay, which is weird because she's named herself after a username that Kayla uses. So Kayla used to use the username Mama Kay as well. But so this lady who went by Kay and then Lady Kay, then Mama Kay. So people told her the name Lady Kay was taken. So she's gone.
Fuck off. I love that Eric goes, oh, how many nicknames does Carl need? I'm not giving myself nicknames. Jesus.
So she's turned up to like every one of the Ricada's appearances in court. She sees herself. She's someone who's suffered trauma in her past. And she sees a lot of the same themes in the Ricada case. And she's now thinking like, maybe if I can help in bringing Nick down, I could fix my history. Like it feels like it's a transplanted trauma. Yeah. That she's putting onto this case. If you go to her Twitter, I think it's called A Quiet Tiger or something like that. She's constantly
in this world at all. Like I don't pay
attention. Yeah. She's arguing with Nick constantly.
Moody, you could be right about that because I don't know the background and that could be definitely what her motivation is. There's also a thing here that I just want to point out and then we'll move on is that if you trash Nick Ricada, you get praised by thousands of people. Like all of us should have immediately said Nick Ricada is a piece of shit. And we'd be praised by thousands of people on the internet. So it's very alluring to go on and say what a piece of shit he is.
Because maybe we get high fives. Maybe we'd be friends with a jock right now.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd get the same bump that Keanu's getting. But the thing is, like, that doesn't last very long as long as you don't have any dirt to dish about.
Yeah, they don't recognize that, like, they're not fans of you, Keanu. They hate Nick.
Right.
They're not fans of Steel Toe. They hate Nick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, but that doesn't click for them. Aaron's just like, oh, I've got so many people on my side. Mm-hmm. It's like, what sides? This is, all of this is retarded.
So this Mama K lady wrote, like she went to the courthouse, saw one of the body cam footages and wrote down notes and then put that up. And Kiwi Farms is sort of hailing her as like, this person has been very reliable in the past. She's someone who has no reason to lie and that sort of thing. But she's someone who said like, when she met Nick, she saw an aura of evil emanating from him. So that's your guy. Someone who sees
auras. I've met Nick a few times. She's not wrong.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
You're gonna get Aaron to be a fan of this show.
Yeah, right.
Right, because
that's gay ops. I would never do that.
I have no problem with the anti-steel toe. If we end up if it's a half hour from now, we're 170 away, guys. You know, fucking do a dance, man. Do a dance. That guy's it because
there's nothing to celebrate for me. That doesn't help my life in any way. You missing the goal, the fact that you think that way, it shows how retarded you are.
Well, it's back to everything. Everything is a zero sum game.
Yep.
If he loses, we win. If we win again,
we're not on a teeter totter.
Yeah. We're not playing sports anymore, Aaron.
But it's hard to keep track of like who's on whose team as well. Like if it's a zero sum game, there's opposition and you. Right. But like these alliances or like the way these interactions or relationships are,
nothing in the real world works like that. It's not right. Black and white. Like, yeah, there's not red and blue teams. It's not how the world works.
Music album. I'm going to have to admit, and you know, you should donate money for this because I'm about to admit something pretty big. And you guys have been laughing with the show today and it's been a really good show and we fucking bombed.
You guys have been laughing. It's been a really good show and we bombed.
Well, by money wise is what he's saying.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah,
he's so stupid.
It's hard to keep the line straight.
We haven't even knocked out half of today's goal. I just noticed we haven't even knocked out half yet.
There's a lot of ways to realize this is an epic failure. Yes, correct.
I can't imagine living my life like this. Just creating my own little panic room every day and losing my mind to it. Like, because this does, as much as he wants to pretend as he touches grass and when he's done with the show, he gets off the internet. We know that's not true. Even when he's reading Kiwi Farms and fapping his little kickstand to it, in the back of his mind he's just like, the goal, we didn't hit the goal.
I think that's how he's able to survive, is that he focuses on Nick losing so that he can say, I'm doing great despite what's happening with the goal. Life's going great because Nick's losing.
To your point though, that's very interesting, because there are things that I do in my life that I'm hoping for a certain outcome. And sometimes it comes true, sometimes it doesn't. Yesterday, I cooked some ribeye steaks on my grill. I don't want to humble brag. They came out amazing. I watched some tutorials from my buddy Melton to help me out a little bit. But, you know, if I had overcooked them or something, I'd be like, oh, that's a letdown. I fucked up. I bought these nice steaks and they didn't come out good.
Even a well-done ribeye steak ain't a bad thing.
It'd be fine. But, you know, my wife would pretend it was good, but whatever. But I'm not doing that on the internet in front of an audience. I'm not inviting people into my home to see if I fail or succeed. He's doing this twice a day where it's like, not only is he going to fail or succeed, but everyone's watching him at the same time.
That's also good. You can invite people to watch you fail and succeed on something. I used to code on Twitch, and like I would be doing stuff and I'd get stuff wrong along the way and it would just be a progression. But the thing wasn't about me succeeding all the time. It was about the journey and enjoying.
Well, no, yeah, you didn't set it up. You didn't set it up that way, that like either I'm going to win or lose today while I code on Twitch.
Well, he doesn't, as much as that tattoo he was thinking about getting, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. There's never a learn.
Right.
There's never a learn for it. The loss doesn't, like, okay, Carl, let's say you overcooked those steaks or whatever. Mm-hmm. You'd go, okay, less time next time, or whatever.
Turn the grill down, or
whatever the thing is, you know, or maybe I got to get a thermopin. That way I can temp the steaks while they cook and make sure I don't go over. Whatever it is, next time you'll get them, champ. That was the thing in sports, right? Like, I will get them next time. Aaron never gets them next time. There's going to be another meltdown tomorrow.
No, because in his mind, it wasn't his fault that he lost. Like, you just heard him saying that. You guys have been laughing along with me. The show's been amazing. And you're not rewarding me in a just amount. It's like, well, that's a guy who doesn't learn.
Well, there's also the lying part, right? Like, they probably have – like, if you go watch his chat, there's 13 people enjoying the show, and the rest are just dunking and clowning on Aaron. But he's not realistic about that.
The other thing in sports, especially team sports, training is a huge part of it. So when you're not at the game, you're training and working on your skills to get better. He doesn't do any of that because every day is game day for him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have an opportunity to make things better.
There's no off season. It's just we got to hit the goal. We got to hit the goal. Tonight there's another goal. Tomorrow there's another goal. These goals. And speaking of goals, we have some.
Guys, we've got Johnny here. Apparently, he has some sort of problem in his life right now. He needs a new mouse or whatever. Anyway, we will be running a Jonathanathon today to help him out. I guess he can't make his own money, so anything over the goal today goes to Johnny. We're 325 away from the 350 goal. So let's do it for Johnny. Get that money in, Chunk Plays. Welcome Stacking Dubs, y'all.
I want to say something real quick before I forget this point. So, Alyssa Clips, some bad medical news came out, And so Aaron went on his show and immediately linked to her GoFundMe or Venmo or his or whatever it is. I don't even know. Her, his, whatever. And he actually posted it in the chat and pinned it, which is more than he's ever done for Johnny, who has his own GoFundMe.
Yes.
He cares more about Alyssa Clips than his co-host.
It shows you how important this catering to this Nick audience is to him compared to his like real life relationships that he has.
I'd be like, what the fuck?
I don't want to put like words in your mouth or like say what you do in a situation, Kyle, but I'd imagine that if any of the WATP crew or adjacent crew were going through something, like they didn't have a home or something, I'd think you dedicate like a week or something to fundraise for them to make sure that they're looked after or something like that.
To that point last year with producer Chris's daughter.
Yeah.
Like you made a point on multiple shows about fundraising and supporting and yeah, you said real life relationships. He doesn't have a real life relationship with Johnny. That is the problem.
Right.
They don't talk outside the show. They're not friends outside the show.
They used to be.
Yes. Yes, but it's worn.
You tripped over a power cable one too many times. There it goes. All right, I never want to see you again.
Well, we saw that when all that happened with Mersh and everything. It's like what became more important to Aaron was getting $2 insults for Johnny and making him feel even worse in that moment.
That's my favorite episode of all time, Steel Toe. I still remember sending Mersh a text like, dude, this is hilarious. You got Johnny crying. He's like, I wasn't trying to.
Fucking unreal. And Johnny makes fun of people crying now, which is hilarious. Perfect.
Guys, what do you think about a new name for the show? How does the Feel Woe Morning Show sound? I find it remarkably accurate, if you will, as it were.
Feel Woe Morning Show.
In this country, you got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the women.
Right. Is there a world where you think that Aaron wouldn't... If some hot fan came forward and started flirting with Aaron in his DMs, and I'm not suggesting anybody pull this prank, is there a world where you think he wouldn't toss this bitch aside again?
Welcome to Catfish Steel Toe, the new show on NLO.
That quote that we just played was quite interesting because Aaron is working on that in order, but backwards. So he's that said money, power, woman. He goes woman, then power, then money. So he gets into a relationship 100% of the time, and then he exerts power over like useful idiots or like feeble people in his life, and then he tries to get the money at the end.
I can imagine trying to get power over Moody.
Carl owns two houses, but they're both in bad neighborhoods. He's seething because the toe is killing it.
Yeah, you're in the ghetto, Carl.
Yeah.
Goldfolds is here. Great. Good to see him.
All hail to the Grand Meph Do. Hip, hip, hooray. Grand Meph Do. You are finding many converts to Super Tips. Yes, Grand Meph Do loves converts, right? Sword-free converts. Mazel Tov. Home Didi La.
He's in a binary zero sum game. The Jews and the Arabs.
Arabs can be Jews.
Jesus Christ!
It's not real.
It's not that kind of show, Moody.
Not real ones, Moody.
Whippets, 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 whippets me, drigi, chariurino, bidnio, all the boring its.
I'm new to Super Tips. How much is Aaron's child support?
Mama K should be ended. She followed me and my wife in real life. She should eat some booger sugar. Stalker, leave me alone.
We and the Kiwi people won't stop till you end it all. Y'all mean. That's our goal, Whippet Boy.
Whippet Boy.
It is.
I missed my old logo.
Sorry.
It looked like a Somra bro behind my stupid head. Andare arriva. This is all stupid. Everybody involved and their moms is stupid.
You think that is their goal?
That like what else is left? Like what do they want? All right, they'll get the footage of him, his house. What next? Like these people hate him so much. I don't know what they want to happen in a perfect world. Like if they get everything they want, what do they want?
You're just lucky that we all said no to boxing him. It would have been bad.
Carl, you dummy, no gold today, so I pinned the GoFundMe immediately.
Oh, yeah. It was Rumble Friday.
That's a good point.
Good point. You're right. Yep.
Rumble Fridays take care of themselves.
Aaron saved me. He even gave me free vitamin pills just before I got sick. He says, keep taking three a day. It's keeping you alive. One day he will unstrap me from the chair, but I'm a bad ape.
I want to come back to that Rumble Friday thing. We got one more of these.
Hey, I got a redhead with big boobs. I'm out of here.
John, she is not good for you. She is just clout chasing off of our steel toe professional show.
She's hotter than Spee. And when you got to pay me, I got to put the heat on, man.
Big Sauce, I'm back in the Cool Kids Club.
Yes, you are back in the Cool Kids Club. Thank you, Rye God. Real quick, he went on a meltdown this week against Kiki and Gino, actually, about their money. I didn't pull the clip, but he was saying why they probably won't be on future shows and he'll probably never ask them to co-host again because as soon as the show is over, they were asking him for payment. And he's like, look, if they want to get paid, like, it seems like that's all that's important to these guys is money. Like, there was like this, it was like,
really? I didn't see this. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a weird, God, I can't even, it was.
Why he's that would be like, yeah, you know, my dog, every time I take him outside, he starts peeing and pooping. It's like, you trained them.
Right.
To think that when they're on your show, they get paid. Why would you think otherwise?
Well, I think also, you know, like when he was on vacation and they co-hosted, they didn't hit the goals. So like he thinks that's their fault. And it's like, well, no, they probably were like, they were, you know, first of all, most of what Kiki said during the 4 hours was bing, 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 bing. Let's pull this up. Why isn't it working? Like there was just a lot of like nothing. And then when he's on, it's constantly, you know, just beating that dead horse. Like money, guys, don't forget. We haven't got the money, like eye on every penny. So like nobody else wants to do that for you. Like we're not even getting it. And I'm supposed to just constantly berate people for not giving cash.
Keanu ended up getting more than the goal on her show immediately after This Little Piggy. So right. When she went back on her
or something, she got loaded.
Yeah. And then like it's been progressively getting less and less as people learn what a Kiki show actually entails. But it's I think he's a bit scorned because of that, because she got that attention because of his absence, I guess. And yeah.
Oh, you think he's bitter about that, so he's lashing out.
I think he sees her making money as money owed to him, essentially.
Right. So the same way he used to say about me, like every dollar Melton makes should be mine. That's all my money because he's making it off my back.
Guys, I don't know if we haven't talked about this on this show, obviously, but I got a demand letter from Stuttering John's attorney that I owe him $600,000 because of all the money I've made off of Stuttering John.
But that was just a guess, Carl. It could be more.
Yeah, likely that much. No, it's $300,000 in what I made and $300,000 in punitive damages to teach me a lesson.
Yes. Is
the demand letter. So if you guys could contribute to the goal, that'd be great.
This one's just a fun one for me. This is about the tooth that I mentioned earlier. A listener chats in and asks Aaron about the tooth. Now, we've talked about this for a while. We got a great shot of it, a very clear shot of it last week, where there is just a tooth missing. There is a tooth missing. It was right before vacation, I think, a couple weeks ago.
It's when he's making fun of Will Heron. He will, like,
grin.
Do that. And
but there is a clear tooth missing. Now, somebody asks him about it, and he goes on this story about how when he was 15, somebody knocked out one of his front teeth. He starts talking about a totally different tooth. He's not Andrew. He knows what we're talking about. Here we go.
In a rut with $2 says, whose meat stick knocked out that tooth, Aaron? It's
we're not talking about that tooth.
Boston basketball.
So there's a moment here where I can show you. I think you'll kind of see. It's this
one. That one, yeah.
This one. There's a gap here, and
on the bottom.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
This isn't the best illustration of. Fuck me. this is not the best illustration of it, but that's the one we're talking about.
I was doing man shit.
There's a moment if I can capture it.
You want to do this before the show and get a nice grab for us?
No, we can't be. I was watching Chad. I got to be honest. Anyway, it's there.
Imagine if Moody was illustrating the chart as he was showing it to us. Now, hold on. Let me just update the data in the background.
Shut up.
I was doing dude stuff. I got my teeth knocked out. What are you going to do?
Now, is that something a pro athlete does? I just like every story he has about sports, he's losing the fight. He's getting his teeth knocked out. But we're jealous of this. Of this athlete, Josh.
I've seen plenty of basketball players. I've seen plenty of hockey players. One of them are missing front teeth. The other one, that's not an injury you sustained from that sport.
Apparently, Cardiff's kids emailed it to you, Patrick, so you can pull it up.
Okay. Oh, okay. Nice. I was wondering why no one was listening to me. Everyone's distracted over here. after my perfect basketball hockey analogy during the finals.
Mailed it to me. I'll have to wait for it to come in. I don't have it yet.
All right.
Cardiff's kids. Of course she captured it to get a painting, I imagine.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, so Aaron's reinstated the VIP program.
Yes, that's on my notes. I wanted to talk about that. That's amazing.
And that is because he's finally got out the merch that the VIPs are owed. Now, when this VIP program started back in the days when he was doing prize night, when we discovered this guy, when he was on a roll, all his grips, all the spinning plates were going, and he had all these income streams. The VIP program was $250. You didn't have to give it in a lump sum. It's $250 within 1 week you give. And then you get two free tickets to all the Steel Toe morning show
event. Live shows. Right. Going forward, right?
Forever.
Wow.
You get automatic entry into a $250 drawing every prize night every month, which doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
You get four pieces of merch a year.
One a quarter. Yes.
You would get.
I think he phrased it differently back then. He was like, you get merch every time we drop it. Every time we drop new merch, you get it.
And then it morphed into four times a year. Was so he put an explicit number on it.
And now you pointed this out, Patrick, and I appreciate that. It can't be said enough. This guy has no understanding of how to run a business. The fact that he thinks that $250 should give someone merchandise four times a year forever and all the tickets to all the live shows forever, nothing's going to be profitable ever again after that.
Right.
Makes no sense.
It shows a lack of confidence in yourself. Because in the back of his mind, he's going like, we don't put out that much merch. Nobody gives a fuck. And he's also going like, you know, most people aren't going to come to our live events. Nobody wants to come to Rockville, Minnesota. Like, that's not a destination. If it was in Minneapolis, St. Paul, people wouldn't want to come. They certainly don't want to land in Minneapolis and rent a car and drive an hour and a half to go to your event.
It's also literally a Ponzi scheme. Like, he is utilizing money that he gets from new signups in order to pay the old signups. So, as like, these things will end up either they always collapse. Like, mathematically, they'll collapse.
I pointed that out yesterday on the show that it's like he's literally paying for all the merch for the old VIPs with the money. That's why he's reinstated the program. And now it's back. And he says, I finally got all the merch out to the VIPs. This is the third time this year he has said that. He's on his second store of the year, and he's made proclamations two times already this year that all the VIPs have gotten their merch. And now he's like, I finally got it all mailed out.
It's also so easy to stop it from being a Ponzi scheme. Instead of saying you get free merch, you get 50% off any merch that you buy. Like, changing it that way immediately changes the equation.
My overdose subscription, you get 15% off merch if you're an overdose member. Like, you just get 15% off.
You're always fucking promoting your stuff. It's so embarrassing.
Nobody likes onions.com/overdose.
So embarrassing.
Once in the past, I think it was 12 or 13 years ago, I did a lifetime overdose subscription for $500. Then you get lifetime overdose. A few people took advantage of it. They got that. Every once in a while, I'll do a half off or, you know, $70 for a year or something like that. Aaron's brought the program back, and it's now $200 instead of $250. which is fair because you don't get into the prize night drawings anymore. You take away a perk, you gotta
good point.
You gotta lower the price. But when he got that $170 donation from Flinty Gecko, which we don't know if it was real or not, people are saying that Flinty Gecko wasn't around at all. Like he wasn't in the chat the whole show that day.
Yeah.
It's, who knows what's real? Like,
seems it, suspicious.
But when he got that $170, he goes, you know what? That's a VIP. That's right. A VIP. Which again, may seem like Aaron's a solid dude. He's hooking this guy up because he gave a bunch of money. It's actually the opposite. It takes away from the people who pay $200 for your VIP membership.
It's why the Hispanic people are pro deportation.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It just doesn't make any fucking sense. And yesterday he did a membership show for his members only. These are 30 to 40 minute shows he does once a week, where most of them he literally just combs through ESPN and sports websites and goes over the scores and talks about his prospects for the upcoming season. They're just garbage. They're nothing. They're garbage. And this is Aaron discussing what members, not VIP members, just regular members get, what a membership to the program gets you.
Lonia says, you're welcome, bud. 100. Thank you, man. Yeah, everybody's here. Everybody who's here, you paid for it. Thank you so much for all of your support. And then on Sunday, we're going to put up another old radio show. We're going to put up probably 2 or 3 radio shows for you. You get 2 members only things a week. You get the live stream where we all just hang out. We talk.
Is that different than the regular show? We all just hang out. All
right.
By the way, translation, I do 0 prep and I just hope that you guys will talk to me and I can respond to it.
Right.
We rap about whatever's going on. And then on Sunday we put up old, what do you call it? Old library stuff.
Now this stuff is available, or at least was. I don't know if he took it down. All these old shows were available on Facebook for free. And then somebody told him, like, you should start reposting these to YouTube. So now he posts them and makes them members only. These are just his old radio shows from 5 years ago.
There's very few old morning radio shows that anyone cares about. You had Howard Stern, there's Opie and Anthony. But for the most part, like, these shows were interesting that day. It was about the news of that day. It's about the characters on the show in that time and how it developed and evolved. Like, there's no way listening to him from 2018 and March 12th is going to be compelling for anyone.
It's even worse, Carl. So, as you know, this is when he was on terrestrial radio. So these are 4-hour-long shows.
Yeah.
He leaves all the ad breaks in them. Talk about doing nothing.
Jesus.
He doesn't even take out the ad breaks. So for half of the time, literally, you're sitting there just watching him at his desk drinking Celsius and waiting for the commercials to end. Like, they're bad. It's rough. Moody and I did one when he was here in February called, we just watched one of these shows called Old Boot. We called it Old Boot Goofing.
Yeah.
They're great to go back for us because he'll inevitably be talking about something that he's contradicted a million times since then, as I'm going to show you in an upcoming clip. But this is insane that this is what members get. Members get old shows. Yeah, I have that for free on the 24/7 channel. You can just go watch my old shows. Like,
Wally World says Trump was on a flight log, flew to Florida to New Jersey on Epstein's plane. But that's it. Well, I mean, that's all we know. Das Optic Nerve says Nike, just chew it. Hey, Das Optic Nerve, you're from New York.
Why is he putting those up? This is the member show.
Yeah, he's got nothing to talk about.
Big Nerve says Nike, just chew it. Clever.
What does save some for us Keanu mean? Is it money?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, weird.
Yes.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Like,
he thinks about like Johnny like this too. When Johnny makes, he goes over into Johnny's chat and he's like, whoa, what's going on over here?
Wow.
Talked about it this morning. Did you ever give your take? I don't even know if you're a basketball fan. That Thibodeau firing seems like bullshit. And that's coming from a guy who didn't like Thibodeau when he was here. I didn't like Tibbs. I like Finch, I like the guy we got now. I didn't like
Thibodeau.
But he took you guys to the Eastern Conference Finals, for fuck's sake. And then you just shit can the guy. We've gone 2 years in a row. We couldn't be happier. Wally World says that's been known forever. He just hitched a ride. Okay, but let me put it to you this way. If it was Joe Biden and the evidence said, oh, he just hitched a ride, would you go, oh, okay, then I don't need to know more?
So this is his member show. Right. This is what he's doing on the members only show. Is this worth your... You also get the old radio show. Is that something you'd be interested in? Could I interest you in that program?
I'm already bored.
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, something else that was great on the members only program yesterday was he's finally getting money for the Rumble creator program.
Yes, another thing I wanted to talk about. This is exciting.
This is big. This could have far-reaching rippling implications.
Guys, the goal is going down. We've heard this before, but this time, for real, goal's going down.
I couldn't. Oh, real quick before I got the picture of the tooth.
Oh, hold great. On.
Let me pull this up. Oh, no. It's worse than I thought. Thank you for sending this in, Carter's kids. Okay, hold on. Let me share this. Boom.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so let me stretch it.
Please.
It's a missing tooth.
That's a missing tooth.
Yeah.
There's no spinning it.
Ooh.
He's missing
it. That's like a top, though. That was like the top. Am I wrong?
The bottom. That's his Habsburg jaw.
Okay.
Yeah.
His front teeth are covered in this.
So a listener writes in and says, what happened to that missing tooth? And he goes on to a story about one of the front teeth that got knocked out when he was playing basketball when he was young.
Yeah.
That are in the top.
Like, what?
Ooh, he's got talking about Spears
the tooth
mouth.
That's missing right now. We're talking about the tooth that's missing currently. Like, we don't want to know a story about when you were an athlete. Like, I also, my two front teeth are fake. If someone said, what's the story with your missing tooth? I'd go, I'm not missing any teeth. Like, I wouldn't immediately think back to a story you're not aware of and start launching into this diatribe about what happened in basketball when I was 15. Anyway, it's stupid. But the Rumble Creator Program is finally paying him. He worked hard to get this. We all know he was just going live every afternoon doing nothing just to get his hours up, like Liam and Felicia.
He played a game?
Yeah, he played Bannerlord for 20 minutes. Riveting, riveting stuff. And he got some money for the Rumble Creator Program, and then I guess he got another deposit, and it blew him away. Now, I'm going to pause this, and we're going to play a game. Because you got to hear how he talks about this money. Here we go.
Talked about that this whole goddamn time. Well, guys, that's about 45 minutes right there. And I'm all caught up with the chat. We are good to go. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. We've got a fun Rumble Friday all set for you. Got this great news from the Rumble Creator Program. I got to figure out if I'm just going to appreciate that. And that's going to be an every month thing that we can, you know, knock down goals a bunch.
Unfortunately, Streamlabs, Venmo, and PayPal do not have a dental plan. I can't afford that dental shit.
Would you guys rather do? Would you rather have me spread the Rumble Creator thing out over all the mornings, or would you rather have me do like a 2-week period where we slash a shitload of money off the goals?
That's up to you, man. Jesus Christ.
I guess we could go $50 a day.
Okay, this isn't the clip that I saw earlier. I pulled the title of it, but you're going to ask how much.
This is like a supermarket going, you know, we put peanut butter on sale every other month. Should we just lower the price to the average of what we sell it for? You can just buy it any day, or should we continue to do it every other? The customers don't know. It's up to you.
Oh, yeah, no one gives a fuck. But that's earlier in the program. Yeah, go ahead.
It's hundreds of dollars that he's talking about here. Like, if you want to knock $50 off a week's worth of goals.
So he goes, earlier in the show, he goes, I got a check from the Rumble Creator Program last week, and that was cool. And he goes, I didn't know, but this week, I got another deposit from the Rumble Creator Program. And it was, literally, this is what he did. He was like, it was, I got that money, and it was so much, he goes, that I thought maybe we should go Rumble full time. Maybe we should get rid of YouTube. I know the YouTube people won't like this, but maybe we go full Rumble only for this program, because it was a significant, it was significantly more than I thought it was going to be. And he said, so, and he used this exact phrasing, I'll never forget it. He said, so for the rest of the shows next week, which is all the shows.
Yeah.
He said, be looking for some significant goal reductions. Now, when he said that, when he said, I couldn't believe how much money this was, whatever, I figured like, oh, did they give him? He goes, he was bragging. He was like, they know how to sucker you in. They know how to pull you in with this Rumble money. They got me on this creator program and they are throwing the money around.
Yep.
And then he goes, next week, you might be looking at all week's goals being $230. Now, the normal goal for the morning show is $330. And there's four of those. So that is $400. Chad made more than that on his stream right before this program. We're talking about $400 made him go like, guys, I think I've cracked it.
He literally said, this first month being on the Rumble Creator Program was amazing.
Yes.
That was the word he used. It was amazing.
Yes.
And I don't know about you guys, but if I'm going to act like that, it's going to be $5,000, $10,000. You're like, whoa, all right. This is pretty significant. This is awesome. All right, good deal.
Acromania wasn't amazing, Carl.
It wasn't. It wasn't amazing. I never said it was amazing. I appreciate what I was given, but it was fine. The guy didn't spend all my money on donuts.
That is one Chandler donation from like a year and a half ago. Yeah. Like how, like that. How the mighty have fallen like that.
He was losing his mind over what I assume was $400 or $500.
All right. So question, does he really feel that way? Is that a significant amount of money that changes his life like he's portraying? Or does he want you to think it's way more than that and that he's killing it and he's super successful?
Well, if it was way more than that, we could have a week without goals. No,
I get it. I understand the math part, but what do you think is the psychology here? Like, what's he trying to accomplish by telling you how amazing this is? Is he being sincere?
I think he could be floating it out because he said something weird too. He was like, I almost DM'd Siraj from Rumble. And then he said, right after he said that, he said, because I can still DM him. Which makes me think, it's like, how many people have blocked you? Like,
yeah.
What a weird, like, it's just a weird phrase. Like, be like, right. If someone texts Carl after this, because I can still text him. Yeah, still right. After what?
You're not blocked yet, right?
It's going back to this Hugbox thing again. He is so hungry for good news that he wants to tell you how well his show is doing. And so he's making stuff up. It's like Safe Sport as well.
At the same time, he can't get rid of the goal because he knows it's not real and he still needs the money.
So you just said something that just triggered me, Moody. I'm sorry. All this time he's been bragging about his numbers on Rumble. He's been talking about his unique visitors or unique viewers. He always adds that number into his total and says how much he's killing it. He's never believed once that he has that many viewers on Rumble. He knew that a year ago, that Rumble was cooking the books and all the viewership is bullshit. So the fact that actual money came in, I think he went, oh, there are people watching me on Rumble. Right. Like he was surprised because there's actually money there.
The Rumble rants are a dollar. I imagine his weekly payout from Rumble is a couple $100 at the most.
At the most.
And so, yeah, when he got this $500, let's say, from Rumble.
Right.
He floated this idea, hoping someone from Rumble sees it. Hey, I would be willing to go Rumble only. He wants one of those merch contracts. He wants one of those Ricada contracts where they guarantee him an income. This is what he wants radio for. Do we believe he wants to go back to radio? No, he wants an income he can count on. Like I said, yes. Chad and him, they would all for $36,000 a year, they would take a radio job because it's a paycheck and I can count on that and guarantee it. And I could still do my podcast. I can still make money on the side, but I would love for that income to be promised to me and I could count on it. And right now he's in no man's land. We saw the breakdown over 170. But just to give you an idea of where he was a couple of years ago, this is how he felt about radio and Carl Heberger.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
One year.
Some prep.
Sorry, in 2022. In 2022.
3 years ago.
Yes, sorry, 3 years ago. This is an interview. I don't know who Adam Goldstein is.
Yeah, I know Adam.
Okay. So listen to this. And this is, again, this is in the Twitch heyday. This is when they were really cranking in money, when April could quit her job. He was beating her. He loved it. This was when life was swinging.
Channel restored, so I pretty much do everything on YouTube now.
Now, like with John, like, is that Clamoring Carl guy for sure him, or are people not really sure who that guy is?
I don't think so. I don't think that you can really say with any degree of certainty who these people are. It's kind of tough.
Wait, is this the wrong fucking
grammar that he uses? Is, I know yeah, he's.
This sounds like he's. Oh, yeah, I guess they're going to get to it. Okay.
God damn it. This is part one. I wanted part two. God damn it. Give me a second. Vamp, everybody. God
yeah,
damn.
The Adam Goldstein got into this whole Stuttering John thing for a little while. And that's probably why he's talking to Aaron, because
sir, let's go.
The reason I'm so unprepared today is because I was watching Chad. I'm going to be honest.
I was just going to say, just to tidy that up, I was just going to say, this is when Aaron was trying to get into the Dabbleverse, and he pretends that he doesn't care about it now. But there was a time when he was reaching out to me and Adam Goldstein and anyone who was part of the Dabbleverse, because making fun of Stuttering John was big bucks back then.
Okay.
And then he jumped on Chad to try to make him his Stuttering John.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
This is the one that's fascinating. This is great.
Yo, because I'm like sitting here picking fights and nobody wants to fight back. And you're just like, well, this is no fun. Because like, you don't mean it. Like, you're just talking shit like we do about Chad, like we do about Opie, John, all these other people. It's like, I find them entertaining.
By the way, he rags on you constantly for going after John and Opie now. Have you noticed that? That used to be what he loved doing.
Chad, and Opie were all my guys back then. And he's like, oh, those are my three guys. Okay.
Here we go.
Want to tell jokes about them. So you use them for that. Same thing with radio. Only on YouTube, people will engage you because it's fun. On radio, people are like, oh, no, we have to do it this way. And it's just, it's a failed business and they do everything wrong. So you go to the internet and it's just more wide open. It's more fun. Radio, they couldn't pay me enough to go back to radio.
Oh, now, wow. Cut to 2025, 2024. He's, I'll take a radio job for free. Anybody who will have me. They couldn't pay me enough to go back to radio. They can pay you enough now. You thought about going Rumble only for $400.
Yeah, it shows you where he's at as far as an income stream is concerned. He was doing great back then.
Yes. It's not about the freedom. It's not about the growth potential. It's not about the community and the interactivity, like you just said. It's about the money. Yep.
He's actually now the math. I think he's done in his head is he's like, we get less viewers on Rumble than we do on YouTube, and I'm getting $200 for that, for those viewers. So if I stop going on YouTube, all my YouTube guys will go onto Rumble. It will double that Rumble amount. But because Rumble fakes its viewers, it will actually triple the Rumble amount. And so with triple $200, that's $600-something. And that would mean that I could knock out multiple goals that I don't need to worry about. I think there's something like that going through his head.
But he also said that the Rumble Creator Program with the first payment really suckers you in. So is it going to go down? I don't even know. Was there a sign-up bonus? You know what I mean? Like a lot of these sites do when they get funding, like they just burn money.
Right.
Remember how cheap Lyft and Uber used to be when they were battling it out for market share?
Yep.
It's like, that's what happens. This is like,
it's also objectively a worse experience for viewers. YouTube is so much easier to watch than Rumble. Like the app on Rumble sucks. Like, it's just not as good. You'll end up losing a lot of your audience if you go Rumble only.
Yeah.
It's so fucking milquetoast and predictable. It's like they could just have a robot friggin' spin you know what I mean? It really does seem like it's automated at this point.
Yeah, we've been gone for 2 years now, and it's gotten so much worse in those 2 years. I mean, I don't think I've turned on a radio outside of a sporting event that I wasn't near a TV for in that 2 years since I left. And
how do you know?
I go to the gym or something and it's on. You're just like, oh.
Now, this is a guy who told us 92% of people listen to radio every week.
Yep.
But here he is 3 years ago saying radio's dead. And since I left 2 years ago, it's even worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like it's like Chad signing up to Super Tip.
It's the right, same switch. Right. I was wrong. This is fantastic.
In the age of phones and people having billions of options at their fingertips at any time, who's voluntarily turning this shit on?
Got to be people over 75 only.
I mean, it's getting to be about that age. Yeah, like maybe 60 and over, but like every year further, like that age goes up and up. I can't imagine if you're 22, 25, and
I mean, obviously the flip-flopping here is what we're pointing out that's very funny, but also Aaron must have been 15 pounds lighter back then, right?
Yeah, skinny people are like short people to me. I can't really. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, they're either 5'4" or 6'1". I can't tell.
Right.
I think it's about the same. He's just got an unflattering angle with bad lighting at the moment.
No, but I can't imagine if you're 22, 25, and you're hip to shit, and you know what's going on, and you're like totally 100% balls deep into pop culture. I can't imagine you're turning on a radio. Like, for me, it used to be like, oh, maybe I'll listen to takes on the Vikings game or something like that. Now, like 10 minutes after the game, you go to YouTube and there's hundreds of people's videos and takes on the Vikings game from the day. So you don't need it anymore.
Even talk radio, it's just gotten so terrible now too.
Yeah. And like the political stuff is just, it's the
worst. What? The political stuff? All you do when you cover stories, it seems like, is local politics, Trump.
Well, he does it right. He does it the right way.
Okay. I didn't know.
Because he still identifies as a radio show now. Like, he's like, we're a radio show that happens to be on the internet until we're back on the radio.
Hiatus right now.
Right.
He will be one of those guys. He'll be off radio for 20 years. He was on radio for 4. And he'll be like, I'm a career radio man. He'll be 78 years old telling his grandchildren about his whole life he spent in radio. And it's like, no, you're not Rush Limbaugh.
You know what everyone's going to say and what everyone's going to do before they even say it or do it, because they all work for a corporation, so they can only stay within these lines, you know? So you know they're not going to go further than this to the left, and they're not going to go further than this to the right. So that's not that interesting. I mean, once in a while, Tucker will go way the fuck out there, but yeah, most of the stuff that's really going to get your blood.
I don't know if there's more to this. This is such a boring conversation.
We're going to get into you in a second. Yeah.
Speaking in generalities like this is so annoying. It's like, what's the point? It's like, yeah, you know, the state of the industry is just not what it used to be. I know. It's not great. It's like, some people are good. Some people are bad. Like, well, you're not saying anything. Who cares?
Yeah, I hate it when people speak in generalities. It's like, make up an opinion. You can't just not have an opinion on something so general. Be more specific about the things you hate, because having a general complaint about something is really...
I don't like politicians, man. Right or left, they're all corrupt. It's all bullshit, man.
Yeah, that's true. And people can participate, too. Which is one of the reasons to talk about WATP for a second. I think Carl has really used the audience participation factor to his benefit to promoting WATP.
Yeah, he does a really good job with that. That show grew out of nothing. You know, I always get kind of pissed on behalf of Carl.
Listen to this.
Oh, interesting.
He read Steel Toe 3 years ago would beat up Steel Toe today if he heard how he talked about you. Listen to this. He's coming to your defense here.
Someone like Chad goes like, oh, he just sucked Anthony's dick, and that's how he got big. And I'm like, no, because I was a fan when Anthony started taking notice of that show. And that show had already gotten a really big following, and Anthony kind of jumped on halfway through. I mean, it gave him a boost, don't get me
wrong. Absolutely, yeah.
But, like, Carl's earned all that. Like, that's just a really fun show, and people go, oh, it's a ripoff of Jocktober. I fucking love Jocktober. It's like a franchise. I want it to exist. The Tonight Show, when Jay Leno took it over, I mean, Johnny Carson wasn't doing it anymore. Somebody has to keep that franchise going. So Anthony's not doing Jocktober. Opie's not doing Jocktober. They're not going to be around forever. Let this guy pick up the mantle and do a Jocktober-type show. And it's not like reaction content is an Opie and Anthony copyright. Like, that's exactly. Most of the internet, most of news, most of entertainment now is reacting to stuff.
Wow.
That's my new soft open. Every episode is going to open with that now. That's perfect. Thank you, Aaron. I agree with everything you just said.
Isn't it funny how he's changed?
Yeah.
Every argument he just defended, he uses against you now.
Oh, yeah. this is what happens, though. All of these guys, they only have an opinion about you based on your opinion of them. It's crazy.
It's a moving window of just him being right and winning at all times. There's his opinions change just to better himself.
The current opinions argument. Will, the current argument. Yeah.
His opinion will never be what I'm currently doing is wrong. It's always like
it is
what I'm doing is the most correct thing.
He recently said that I have like these e-daddies, and the only reason why anyone knows who I am is because of Dick Masterson and Anthony Cumia. And you just heard right there, he goes, no, he deserves all of this, and it's great that Anthony took notice, but he would have been doing things without that. And so he's completely flip-flopped on that,
which tears apart one of his other arguments, because I've heard this several times too, is like, you teamed up with me to get some of my clout, or you laugh at jokes when I laugh at him to get some of my clout. It's like, hold on, if he has Anthony Cumia and he's branching out to Patrick Melton, he's going backwards significantly.
Right. I'm doing like, this wrong.
What is this?
Yeah. I should go Anthony Cumia, then Adam Carolla would be the right way to go with this. Yeah.
Carl, you and I, you know, we're virtual on this show, but while Keanu and Nick were going at it, I just felt you and I looking at each other, and we were just kind of like, we were giggling. And he interpreted that as like, well, when Melton laughed, Carl laughed. And it's like, when something's funny, multiple people laugh. Do you think in a comedy club, one person laughs and then everybody else goes, oh, I guess that was funny. That's not how comedy
before
works.
The show starts, they go, everyone, we're going to take our cues from this guy in the third row. So just keep an eye on him. If it's funny, he'll let you know.
We got a laugh leader.
Laugh leader.
Yeah.
But Carl, being serious, do you think that he was so pro WATP back in the day because he hadn't heard this scandalous thing about you?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Back then, he didn't know I was an abortion guy.
You're an abortionist, I think. This is Steel Toe this week on
This is amazing.
People Without Children.
I don't even know what he's talking about. Neither does he. It's great.
People who have their children murdered. Here we
go. A Weird Al will be in Waite Park. I know they announced that like months after I bought us the tickets for this June concert that we're doing. That's a bummer. And it's at a casino.
You're going to the concert with your daughter. It's fine.
Also, if there's someone you really enjoy, okay, Carl, there's someone you really enjoy and they're doing a very special concert at Radio City Music Hall, or they're going to Carnegie Hall or something. You know, that's a weekend trip for you, but you buy tickets for it because you want to see this show. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
And then you buy tickets. And then the next week they announce they're coming to Syracuse or Rochester.
Right.
Okay. Awesome. I'm going to buy those tickets too.
Yeah. I'll go see them again. That's great. Right? Happy days. Of course.
Like, maybe the set list will be different. Maybe
this or I go with different people, or
in the big city. God damn it!
But that's crazy too, because this is a whole like bonding experience with his daughter. He got her the tickets for Christmas, and she's all excited. And now he's kicking himself. It's like,
yeah, but no. now you can take SP to one or whatever.
Right?
It's like, I wish I didn't go on as long of a drive and spend some quality time with my daughter. I wish the trip was shorter.
He hates being alone with his kids. He can be in Ashley, an auditorium, but he can't be in the car.
Ashley, just drop off the kid in the parking lot. I'll meet you there. Like, right. We don't need to.
Right. You can actually just walk her to her seat, and then I'll show up late, and then we don't have to talk. We can just listen to the Rye or the Kaiser together. We can.
My kid with me. It's too bad. Miss Tay says Lady K is Clubfoot Carl. Isn't it Clubfoot? He keeps adding nicknames. I found out like he's an abortion guy. Like somebody said he aborted a kid or something. That's heavy shit. That's not very nice. That's not going to get you any, you know, right wing credentials. I'll tell you.
Pause it real quick. Yeah. So if you heard someone say that, if you're just like maybe you're aware of who I am, but you watch his show and he goes, I heard he aborted a kid. Wouldn't you think that I had like a clothes hanger and I was like going in surgically to take a kid out of someone?
You went
that sounds like
the armory and you.
Also, are you chasing those right wing creds, Carl?
I didn't understand that part at all. That was very weird. I think it's because I showed up on Dave Landau's show and Alex Stein's show that are on Blaze TV. I think that's still like in the back of his mind. He's upset about that, that they would fly me out to Dallas to do those shows.
Kyle has trans people on his show. I think that would be a bigger thing than...
Right. I'm pro-choice. I'm not as scared to say I'm pro-choice.
Right.
Like you're Steven Crowder and you got caught knocking a woman up and then tried to quietly... get rid of this. It's going to ruin your brand. The whole WATP right-wing brand.
I don't do a political show. I've never done a political show.
I know. It
doesn't complain that I do a political show, but I promise you I don't.
He wants everything he accuses people of just reeks of desperation. It's all apropos of nothing. This has nothing to do with anything. But Super Tips is stealing your data. Melton's a pedophile. Carl aborted a kid once when he was 17 years old. It's like this is...
So this goes on, but this is a thing that Aaron does that a lot of these idiots do. They learn a new fact about someone they don't like, and then they try to tie that together with why they don't like them.
Right.
So this is a perfect example of that, where Aaron goes, I heard Carl's an abortion guy. Man, that's rough, man. I don't like that. That's really terrible. Yeah. And then he's going to go on to talk about why I'm bitter and I don't have children. And that's why I, A-log him. But like, none of this has anything to do with anything. Like, he could have just left this alone and never even talked about it.
And it's, there's a component here that I think is mild jealousy. It's like Moody was saying this before we started the show, but Aaron famously knocked up the wife he was divorcing mid-divorce.
Right.
The appropriate thing to do in that circumstance, I would argue, would be to get an abortion. Like, you already have two kids with this woman. No, it should have been killed, Carl. I won't hear another one.
I don't think that's the case, but I hear what you're saying.
If you're sitting in court and the woman is pregnant with your baby, it means that your foresight was less than 9 months. Like, you fucked up. Did you not know that, one, the relationship was ending and on the rocks in those times? Two, why are you being irresponsible and bringing a child into a broken situation?
Especially when you made comments on your radio show when you only had two kids that you can't stand. There's kids everywhere all the time, and you hate that. Like, this guy has a history. It's not just the recent texts that were revealed. There's a clip of him on one of these old radio shows that he put up, because I don't think he even watches through these shows. He just throws them up, like, yeah, this is lazy content. So he put up this show where he said that him and his wife got in a fight because he yelled at her because kids were everywhere in the morning and he's trying to get ready for work and there's kids around everywhere. It's two kids and they're yours. It's not like she's bringing home children. They're not strays. These are your kids and you're upset that they're around.
We've seen texts of him saying he doesn't like being around his kids, that he would choose April, a woman he now calls a co-core, to like he'd rather be with her and be okay with losing the kids. This guy hates his kids.
And that's
somehow Carl's worse because he doesn't like being around pregnant women.
But hold on. I'll explain what the Carl's an abortion guy thing is. Probably people here don't know what that means. But it's even worse, though, Moody, when you think about the context of that text where he says, if I had to lose April, I don't know that I'd be able to get through that. But if I lost the kids and kept April, I'd be okay with that. And what that was referring to, I believe, was the possibility of them moving next to the Ricadas, which would be an hour away from his children, which would change the whole dynamic of him having the kids in joint custody.
And his wife figuring out that they were in some sort of polycule situation and being like, I don't want my kids around that. I'm going to petition for full custody. Like, he's like, if I had to not see those kids anymore and April was still here, I could get by.
Which is de facto like an abortion. Like, you sever the relationship with the kids.
Abortion.
Right. Very late term. But like, those kids are no longer yours or your responsibility. That is
it's nothing close to an abortion. It's a very different thing. Being a deadbeat dad is a very different thing. It's a horrible thing to do.
It's worse. It's way worse.
I would agree. I think so. But can I just point out why he calls me an abortion guy? Yes. It did come out of my show years ago that when I was in high school, I knocked up my my high school girlfriend when I was 17. The condom broke, and she made a decision along with her family to fall down some stairs. And they said, Carl, will you do the pushing? And I said, if you need me, I'm your man. I can make this happen. Anyway, I had nothing to do with that decision. I think it was the right decision for both of us at the time. And I'm glad that that's what we ended up doing, because it's not like we got along after that. It was a rough go after that.
Go ahead.
It would have also like anchored the both of you down as like you were building your lives, going to university or getting your first job and all of that. Like having a kid that early really like weighs you down.
It's one of the signals of being underpaid and even poverty ridden when you get pregnant as a teenager. It's not a good thing.
It is
for the future of your life.
Pregnancies or number of children are inversely proportional to education. Like the more that people learn and understand their situations, the more they delay having kids because they're like, it's not the right time right now. Let's build up and have some stability.
In stark contrast to having a stable job and being ready to be a father, like Aaron's going to explain. Tell us how it's done, Aaron.
I don't even know if that's true. Somebody said that.
He went on a giant judgment streak and then goes, if that's even true.
Also, not to mention that if the abortion happened during high school, this reasserts the fact that, you're an abortion guy in high school. That's you forever.
Right. So this is also, again, so Aaron was a jock in high school and Carl was fucking.
But it's whatever. We all had girlfriends in high school. I'm not bragging about that. It's not great that happened. But just like label me an abortion guy. If I'm just watching a show, I wouldn't know what he meant.
Right.
I wouldn't think what my actual situation, what actually happened to me, would be what he's talking about because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it makes it sound like you're fighting your way through protests at clinics.
Right.
I gotta get in there and get another abortion. Get out of my way. My mom was full of my punch card.
True. And his wife's way too old to be having any more kids. So, I do know.
I thought we were going to get through one show without making fun of Jenny Jingle.
I know.
I really thought we were going to do it today.
You know, it's a good thing that Jen and I both don't want kids and made that conscious decision to not have children. So it works out really well.
You talked about it?
Okay. Of course we did. When Jen and I first got together, we both had the conversation about children. Like, that's what you do when you get into a long-term relationship and you go, I never wanted kids.
Open communication in a relationship. Carl, you're so gay.
I know. It's very gay. I go, I never wanted kids. She goes, I never wanted kids either. I'm like, good. This is going to work out well.
You guys almost never fight on the show about real world issues, Carl. You don't know what it's like.
People who don't have kids and realize they're not going to have kids, as they get older, they do get bitter. They lash out at people more. There's something about having children, like as challenging as it is.
He's generalizing again, Moody.
Yeah. This generalization also is retarded. I couldn't be more happy-go-lucky. And not having children around, and maybe they'd make my life better. Who knows? I don't know what the other scenario is, but I get to do anything I want all the time, and I'm loving life.
Here's the other scenario, having a bunch of kids when you're young and then regretting it and not wanting to be around them.
Yes.
That's the other scenario. There are people who cannot have children and they're perfectly happy. I'm sure there are people who don't have children and regret that later in life. I'm sure there are people who have children and love it and are happy about that. There are people who have children and regret that later in life.
Every possible scenario actually exists in the real world. Correct.
Yeah.
It's fucking idiot.
The thing here is Aaron, we know that Aaron doesn't really like his kids and he sees them as a consolation prize. Yeah. What he's doing here is he's telling on himself that these kids are the only thing that give him purpose in his life and that he's unable to extract any level of purpose from anything else that he's doing, which is
that is what he says here, which is crazy. Like, I have no purpose in life anymore because I don't have children,
right?
Which is a wild thing to say.
It's like Aaron's unable to find any purpose in life at all apart from these kids he hates.
Right.
That's crazy. Aaron is Elon Musk.
Someone who has them 50% of the time who's also a very good parent.
This is very funny too, where he says that he has his kids 50% of the time. That's just not possible. Like, we know,
unless they're upstairs right now and Slam Piece is watching them.
And that doesn't count. Like, you don't have 50% of the time.
He never gets them out of bed in the morning, gets them ready for school.
That is the agreement, like on paper, but like that's not reality.
Maybe Ashley's like, when they're at school, they're technically during the school days. Yeah,
you know what? You're right, Moody, because he said, and it's even more when the summertime comes around. Right. He even says it in this clip. You're right.
Oh, it's pretty easy for us, and we can
communicate. He also said he's 50% of the time he's a dad, and he's a very good dad. Like, he does a good show. Like, it was the same. Yep. We do a good show. I'm a good dad. It doesn't.
Yeah, Chicken Boy in the chat's right. SP stands for step parent.
There's nobody in the middle trying to fucking play the two of us against each other. That's kind of psychotic. But it's.
Yeah, this gaslighting too. That
right.
That April was trying to play him and Ashley off each other when we know for a fact we've seen, like you said on WATP, Carl. Mm-hmm. We've seen the text message between Ashley and April. They were fast friends.
Yeah, they were bonding.
I couldn't imagine a step-parent and a parent getting along better than those messages.
Yep. And Ashley spells it out in there. She said that when Aaron saw that me and April were getting close to each other, he started inserting himself in between us and insisting on things like calling April their mother and then making that a point of contention. He's completely flipped the parties around from the only other verifiable source we know.
Which is what Nick Ricada said to us early on when he first started coming on This Little Piggy. He would say, yep, here we go. The Janny's coming out.
Janny.
He would say, Aaron's stories that he would tell about us are true stories, except for he swapped out who the hero was. He made himself the hero in all of this. What he's explaining right now is what happened. There was a wedge put in between people, but it's the exact opposite. It was him putting a wedge between his wife and his ex-wife.
Right.
It is fulfilling though, because like you have your children.
We also watched him try to do that with Kayla and Nick. He was trying to get Kayla to come meet him on the side. He fantasized about stealing Kayla away from Nick.
Because he wanted to hurt Nick the same way that he was hurt.
Yes, it was insane.
And no matter how bad things get or no matter how tough things get, you always have your kids, you watch them play, or you talk to them, you hang out with your kids, and they just instantly, they cheer you up. They make you happy. Like, I went to bring my oldest the socks and the microphone, and then we went to, you know, my aunt and uncle's cabin, which is like a few minutes down the road. It was just a real easy place to go and hang out for a little bit. And my youngest was already there, and she, as soon as I get out of the car, she goes sprinting up, and she jumps at me, and you pick her up and everything else.
Aaron thinks his kids are fans.
Right.
We did a selfie together. They wanted an autograph.
The two things that make Aaron feel good are his kids running up to him and hugging him, making him feel wanted, and that crowd goes wild sound.
Yep.
He's in the same emotion.
It's a small mention here, but he was talking about getting the socks for his daughter. He was joking about that in his chat before one of the shows. He was saying that I need to go and get my daughter a pink sock. And then one of his chat members said, oh, that's disgusting. Like, please don't give your daughter a pink sock. And then Aaron started joking about it after that, which is
so he's a PDF file confirmed
by his definition. Yeah.
Yeah. It's can't like, joke about that.
Yeah. It's
just like, try not to be in a good mood when shit like that happens. So like when you get to your
40s, by the way, I don't even bite on stuff like that because calling people pedophiles is fucking disgusting and desperate. Yeah. I never even cover this in my show. Aaron's not a pedophile. I don't believe he's a pedophile. That's insane. I don't think pedophiles are a dime a dozen. They're not hiding under every rock.
Right.
Like, this is something that
if you are online calling people Nazis or pedophiles, you're losing the threat. You're missing the plot.
The thing we were trying to say is that he's always on a high horse about not making jokes about children, yet he's in there making those same jokes about his own children.
Someone pointed this out. I never even thought of it like this, but every time he calls me a pedophile, he gets to make a veiled pedophilic joke. That is his way of just framing a pedophile joke that he wants to make. And as long as he tags it with like Melton would do, like he gets away with it. He makes pedophile jokes on almost every show. It's nuts. Some of these guys don't stop making pedophile jokes. Like,
yeah. Can you back it up 10 seconds? There was somebody who was just talking about it. I've lost it.
Real easy place to go and hang out for a little bit. And my youngest was already there. And she, as soon as I get out of the car, she goes sprinting up and she jumps at me and you pick her up and everything else. And it's just like, try not to get a good
one. So I love that, you know, Aaron always, it's always black and white with him. So he's explaining how having children has saved his life and how amazing they are, and they always cheer him up. Does having children, is that ever stressful? Is it ever difficult? Do they ever go through things that Aaron, like...
He doesn't have to be there all the time. He's like a grandparent.
Yeah, I think Adam Bush brought this up on the show when we were playing this clip. It's just like no parent will ever tell you, like, yeah, it's just bliss the entire time. You can't wait till you have kids because there's no bad times and everything's just amazing from here on out. It's like being a parent, and I applaud people who are parents. I'm not a nihilist. I don't want the human race to end. I'm glad other people want to have children. I didn't. But I don't think that at any point being a parent is like a cure to having stress or depression in your life. It's the exact opposite.
You saw Nick's house.
What he's describing is the uncle experience.
Yes. Like, I have an uncle. Being an uncle is great. I agree with that. It's awesome.
As an uncle, they start getting fussy.
It's like, all right, back to you. Yeah.
You get to go hang out with them. They love you. You feed them sugar. And then you're like, I'm out of here. See ya.
Exactly.
I'm not changing diapers.
Like when you get to your 40s, and you realize, like, this is it, like a Carl or a Melton or any of these guys. And you get to that point in your life and, like, you literally don't have anything.
Fuck.
That's it. And I think a lot of that gets turned into rage. And you start.
You made fun of me for taking my dog on play dates and dressing my dog up. But when you do that with your children, it's fine.
This is him describing his life, like the aspects of his life that are not his kids. That's what you should be reading out of this is how Aaron feels on everything minus the kids, which is the show, his relationship with SP, the house he owns, all his achievements, his aspirations and goals. This is how he feels.
Reaching out for people for very small things, like some of the things that, you know, they went after Keanu for, or like, you host entire shows where you can't stop talking about a guy because he's your only paycheck. Like, I don't think people with children do that. I don't. Like, I certainly, I think that's where
pause
the
pause it. So this is the thing where Aaron gets on a track and he goes, the reason why they're bitter and angry towards me is that they don't have children. So that must be the reason why that exists. And we're going to, a chat comes up and calls him out and tells him he's full of shit in a minute. But also, like, Tukey's on the show. Not tonight, because he's a busy guy. But Tukey started the show with us.
Yep.
So just to say, like, well, the reason why they're doing this because they don't have children is just a retarded notion to have.
I'm also in my 30s. I'm 30. I'm younger than Aaron. And he always lumps me in with these 40-year-old guys who are almost 50. I'm all right.
Also,
Keep pointing out how much younger they are than me. It's like, all right, we get it. I'm old. Fine.
My wife is much younger than me. If we ever decide to have children, or if Moody has children one day, I imagine it will affect my podcasting schedule. There's one of us here who streams more than anyone, multiple times a day, multiple hours a day. Kevin Brennan streams multiple times a day, almost every day of the week. All these people have kids. It's almost like you don't want to be around your kids.
Right.
I would argue that if I had children, I would probably stream even less.
Or if your kids go to school, there's a 6-hour period where you're not meant to be looking after them, which is good enough to put a show in. Why not shift his show to be during school time so that he doesn't miss out?
He makes pick up the kids. He makes his kids take the dog for a walk so he can do the show. Yep. 6-hour period with $10.
Like, they don't have children. They don't have a legacy. They don't really. I mean, if you're in your 40s and you don't have kids, there's, I mean, other than like just killing time, you don't have a purpose, really.
What is this show?
I don't understand what he means by that. By the way, see us in Boston, June 21st, WATPlive.com for tickets for that. Almost sold out. And I'll be in Detroit. I'm announcing it now. September 12th, we're doing a show at the Magic Bag with Dave Landau and the Drew Lane Show. Tickets are available at themagicbag.com. There's also a link on whoarethese.com. I have no purpose.
A couple more things before we get out of here. There's the Safe Sport update.
Yes, I have that in my notes as well. This is hilarious.
He got caught by somebody on Reddit lying about the email.
What?
Yes.
This is insane. So let's see what happens first, and then we can explain why this is complete horseshit.
This is great.
Fuck, I was clicking on StreamYard instead of the video.
Let's go.
one thing. All right. I just got word from Safe Sport. They are satisfied with the letter they received informing me that the felony thing will be dropped. We've investigated the calls and complaints we've got and found them to have no merit. We are now wrapping up the rest of the case and are nearly done, and we'll be restoring your boxing membership to you shortly.
Now, boxing membership is not being a coach, first of all.
Okay.
But someone pointed out, so he pretended like he got this email live on his show. And someone...
I'm so sorry, Patrick. Holy shit, Spotify wants to give me $100 million for the next 3 years? Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. You were saying?
Someone matched up the timestamp on this show. This was, I believe it was 9:17 a.m. that he got this email live on his show. They went and found out that the hours for Safe Sport, which is located one time zone over in the mountain time zone, so it'd be 8:17 there. Safe Sport doesn't open until 9 a.m.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
So... someone rushed into work 45 minutes early.
Could have been automated. Maybe they set it up the day before to go out.
Well, this morning he came live and said, it turns out they have a couple more things to check for my Safe Sport.
They sent that email.
It's weird. I don't know.
Also, his felony thing isn't dropped yet. Like, that's...
right.
There's a plea deal, but the judge can throw it out. It's not until the judge signs it.
It's got a sentencing still coming up. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, this is very premature from Safe Sport if that this was real in the first place.
He also said there was another clip I saw where he said he got an email saying an email was coming.
Right. He said by two weeks ago it should have been done. So,
he said 2 months ago that the note already went to the gym. They're just waiting for it to get to him, which is not how electronic messages work.
When he said that is closer to the time when he got banned than it is now. So, I mean, we are blowing past deadlines.
We're months out. He also said he's planning on fighting this summer and again in September. They have a home show. So he's got two matches pending that are coming up. Does anyone want to take bets that there's any fights in Aaron's future?
My guess is that in August, when his sentencing is over for the violation of the protection order, that's when he gets it back. And he's just stalling for time until August comes around. I think he says he could do this for another 2 months in his mind.
Will he fight again? I mean, what are we talking about? He's 38 years old. He's never won.
All these people who fight in these bouts are 19 years old. Right. Like, no one wants to fight grandpa.
So he can fight. He can also enter something called the Masters Division, which is when he ages out.
That. Yeah, when he's over 41,
ages out of the athletic membership, he becomes a master. At which point, I'm sure there's
0-2. You move on to the Masters, baby.
Right. Doesn't make any sense.
There will be people that will do amateur bouts with him. I mean, the thing is, it's like he's in a heavy range, and the people that'll be... he'll be fighting with will be very, very muscular compared to him.
I've seen him get knocked out. Yeah, I know.
Right.
Fuck. All right. One more thing we got to talk about before. Go ahead, Moody.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the anniversary show.
That's exactly what I had pulled up here.
Okay, great.
This is the tickets for this went on sale. It's 45 days away, so why not get the tickets pumping? And this is insane. This is the flyer or image he's using for the anniversary show. So the font here is funny enough. The 11 is really small. The TH is big. Some's capitalized, some's not.
He's left zero space for bleed. If you sent this to a printer, half of those letters would be
printed. What world are you in? This isn't a real thing.
Okay.
How fast as it gets.
It's bizarre to me that in the world of AI art, this is what he put together.
Right.
You can make this so much better so easily.
he didn't even get the aspect ratio right on the pictures. Like, their right. borders don't match.
He used his mugshot because I think he thinks this is like a headshot. He's
he
like,
thinks he looks good in that. Yeah.
We've got Johnny, I guess, leaning over on something.
That's Johnny at the strip club, by the way. That's Johnny in cool mode. I'm the strip club DJ over here, guys.
We have a picture of Gino from probably 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, again, I pointed out the insanity of this. Keanu takes one of these pictures every day in her little chair doing her show. She posts the same photo every day on Twitter, about to do my show. These women are psychotic who do this. It's like her whole camera roll is just filled up with this exact shot on different days in different clothes. Yeah,
this is what hot chicks do. I don't have a problem with that. The contrast of these four photos, they don't make any sense together. And they also don't scream live stand-up show to me. When I see this, I don't think like, well, this looks like a good lineup for a stand-up show that's coming up.
So the description down here.
Hold on. Before you go to the description, he's messed up the date of the event.
You're so obsessed with this. It doesn't matter. What are you?
It doesn't matter. I just want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
None of this matters. Like, we're nitpicking about a guy full nonstop. None of this matters. What are you talking about? So he's set it up to be on the 26th and the 27th of July. And this is an event that is repeating twice. He's also separated the event into different grades of tickets, but those tickets are spread out over those tickets are like the different levels, which are, if you click get tickets on the right hand side, it says like the cornhole tournament or the comedy show or the golf tournament.
Right.
So the way these are supposed to be for like different seats or different areas within a particular show, but he set them up as the different event.
So according to this, Sunday show is the 26th.
Okay. There is a Saturday golf tournament and a Sunday golf tournament. Yeah, there is a Saturday comedy show.
So this is on Saturday and he's got the golf tournament.
Right.
And that's the only when the comedy show and cornhole are. So if you click over to Sunday and then go to get tickets, you have all the same options. There's no cornhole comedy on Sunday.
Nothing he does is right. It's always wrong. It's always incorrect.
What an idiot.
But look at this. The cornhole is $3.12. The steel toe comedy show is $24.83. And the golf tournament is $7.56.
Scroll back up. A question on this cornhole tournament pricing, because he said it's $2, but you get your $2 back. We just want to be able to track how many people want to be in this tournament. So it's essentially free, is what he's saying.
It's actually a dollar.
Whatever. It comes to $3.12, which is not a round number. It's not anything that you would price anything at, $3.12. But if he made it $2 and there's fees and taxes, I would forgive that. For some reason, it's $1.91. Was he trying to get to a point where it would be $3 even?
No, that's the event. The cornhole is $1. Yes. The Eventbrite fee is $1.91, bringing it to $2.91. And then there's 21 sales tax.
So he just fucked up. He was trying to figure out a way to make it even, and he fucked it up.
You know, like if you have concession stands, a lot of times they'll make the price of the item like, okay, we're going to make our hot dogs $2.87 because with tax that comes out to $3.50 and it makes it easy for our cash.
Exactly. Yes. When you go to a bar and you order a beer, it's $5. It's not $5.12.
Right. And that includes tax. They've just backwards priced it to make it a nice round number. He doesn't do any of that stuff. But what's interesting here is the golf tournament is $70. And even more interesting is the promise down here, which people are really focusing on, that there will be thousands in prizes given out. And he says he has a sponsor for every hole of the golf tournament. Now, if that's true, he's going to have more sponsors than he has participants.
Right.
He's not going to have 18 people playing in this golf tournament. Let's be honest. He's doing cornhole, a nighttime comedy show, and then late night karaoke. People are going to be shit faced. Can you imagine a world where you'd wake up at 6 a.m. to get to the golf course to play 7 a.m. golf?
Now, golfers are crazy like that, so I'll give them that. But it's you're right. It's not going to be 70 people like you're saying.
Not until 2 in the morning drinking.
Yeah. It's not going to be 70 people like he was talking about when he first started promoting this.
Aaron thinks everybody sleeps as much as him, so it'll be fine.
Right.
Like, and someone called this golf course Wapakata Golf Club and made a 7:30 tee time on Sunday. So, like, there are tee times available right in the middle of this tournament.
Go to wapakata.com. Can you navigate to that?
I'd rather not.
Real quick before you do that. So I heard you talking about this on NLO. Thousands will be paid out in prizes means nothing. You've no idea what that could possibly mean. If I was incentivized to be part of this tournament because I thought I was really good and I could win, I'd want to know, like, well, what can I win?
Right.
What is it? My group? Do I have to split it? My group? Is it just me?
What's the format? Is this a scramble? Is it match play? Whatever. Right. Doing best hole.
Is it best ball? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How are we doing this? Are there? He said they were going to be closest to the pins and. You know, furthest drive and all this kind of stuff. We don't know anything. And the answer to it, Carl, is he doesn't know yet.
He has no idea.
He's gonna see how many people buy tickets, and then he will go to the Wapakata Golf Club website or whatever. He'll click on tee time, and through there you can book in the event the tee off times. So he'll have like adjacent or consecutive tee times, and then he will unofficially organize a tournament between those people.
Marketing guy, you know, he claims to be a marketing guy. I can get a job in marketing. If you're trying to sell this event, saying $1,000 given out in prizes will not sell the event. The whole point of a golf tournament, because I've been involved in these through different boards I've been on and stuff, is it's more of like a fundraising thing. People go to connect with other people, network a little bit, have fun on the golf course rather than be at work that day. Nobody's there because they think they're going to win a tournament and win the grand prize and have a trophy to go home with. That's not the point of these things.
This calendar is full of events. They look like they really use their calendar and track it. There are tournaments here. There are golf groups. There's, you know, the leagues. There's a golf association events. All this stuff is filled out. There's nothing on the 27th.
That's a problem.
Like, can you imagine calling up the Sand Dollar and saying, like, yeah, can I throw an event on May 10th? You know what they'd say? No, we have something that day. Sorry, it's a closed. When you went to the casino, there were signs up out in front of that bar that's usually open to the public that said private event. There was a security guard outside. You couldn't get in without a badge, right? Like, you would set all this up before you announced it publicly. Nothing?
It's just everything reeks of low effort, which is fine. I don't expect people to put together an event like Melton did. Like, what you did is incredible. Most people can't pull that kind of thing off. But you can't also say that, like, you're owning all the hate. Yeah, I'm sweet. I'm a Janny for Melton. But you can't also say that, like, I own these guys and they're losers. They don't know how to do this. Only I know how to do it. If you're doing it this poorly and this half-assed.
If you had to guess how many times he's been down to Wapakata Golf Club to set this up and talk to the people, what would you guess? I'd guess, zero.
I think once or twice.
You're sucking my balls a little bit. But, like, this kind of thing, it takes months and months of coordination and planning and back and forth and and working with the people in the rooms and working with people on the at the event space and the sound guy, and I'm in group chats with security people.
Think about having, he says that every hole is sponsored, so that means there has to be signage on every hole. You have to coordinate that with the golf course and be like, okay, we're gonna have these people, when can they set up their signage, when should they be there, can we do it the night before, you know, is that gonna be okay, is if the golf course is still open to the public, that we have these signs here.
It's not cheap printing those signs of corrugated, even like yard signs and stuff, especially when they're one-offs.
Right.
It's diminishing. Like, I mean, you get one or two of these things printed, it's not cheap. And I don't think he understands the hundreds of dollars in printing. I don't think he understands anything.
It's one thing, and like I was saying, I've been involved in golf tournaments before. It's one thing if there's a bunch of people who are in a certain industry, and so you get sponsors who want to talk to those people, decision makers in an industry. These are just like steel toe fans. Like, what sponsors is like, I need to reach the 18 people who are playing golf that day because they're fans of Aaron Imholt. That's not a demographic.
Set up on a website. You'd want a pairing program. You'd want some way to keep scores and process them when they come in. Do you think he's researched any of that, or he's just going to write it down on a sheet of paper and we'll figure out who won?
Like, it's just slam piece will figure all of that out. I don't have to do it. I'm just the host.
It just shows a complete lack of giving a fuck about. It's about money. I think he thinks he's going to make money on this. These guys are so out of business. There's not going to be any money made. We heard him say that it could be a month of goals this event could pay for. A month of goals.
This like, holy shit. I think there's three different times when like a golf tournament makes sense. One is like professional or like an event based on skill that makes sense. Another one would be if you were fundraising for something. So it's like people are just giving money and doing it so that they can fund a charity. And the third one would be as a loss leader and networking opportunity for a business. Yes. So you invite all your important clients together, get them in a place, they remember it, it's a good time, and then you can get more business off of that. Steel Toes show doesn't fit into any of those.
Nope.
He's not going to make money through fundraising. It's not going to be a thing of skill.
He likes golf, so you should come out and watch him play golf. That's what this is.
Right. And it's
not even going, good at golf. I bet he's not good at golf.
It's just these, it's going to be adjacent tee times that they get together, which I don't know if the golf club is going to be happy with being tied to his events. Like, this is part of a weekend which famously does N-word chants every year. Like,
let's talk about this. So does this even happen? Because I didn't know this before today's show, that already Gino and Keanu aren't going to do a show anymore because Aaron doesn't want to pay them, but they're apparently flying to Minnesota to be part of the stand-up show. If he doesn't sell tickets to that and he's got to foot the bill for them to fly in, get hotels and everything like that, does this whole thing get canceled? Like, remember last year it was going to be a roast, and then it was going to be all of the radio stations and all of his old co-hosts showing up. And then
they're going to be there this year, which again, we had food trucks at Sinwave last year when we had Hackamania. Sinwave doesn't serve food.
Right.
So they were fine with that. Stoney's is a pizza place. And you're going to roll up with taco trucks and burrito bowls outside?
He also said that he would cover for Roots Calhoun to travel and stay there so that he can rap battle him during the show.
Yeah.
And for Sean, the lawyer, to come run a Twister contest. It's like, so, but again, like, it's all just, he doesn't. He's
throwing shit at the wall, man. He's got no plan.
And he doesn't have the budget for it.
No, of course not.
He doesn't think about these things at all. Like, I get shit for Hackamania tickets being $100. It's like, yeah, I also paid 20 people and covered their travel.
And we had to play that shitty bingo game. So, yeah, there's expenses involved. But does this even happen? This whole weekend get canceled? It happened
in some form.
In some form.
But it will be embarrassing.
It'll be knocked down more and more. So maybe Gino and Keanu can't turn up anymore.
There's a chance not enough people sign up for the golf where he goes, like, we're scrapping the golf. That could happen.
Yep.
Or he's like, we don't have enough for a tournament. Let's do like three groups and we go there together.
We're just going to do nine holes. We're going to go out and have some beers.
That's what it should be, by the way. The fact that he's like you were saying, it doesn't make any sense for him to throw a tournament. Just be like, hey, you guys are all going to be in town or you live here or whatever. So we're going to go golfing. And that'll be like when we do Hackamania, we do the same thing on Sunday. There's a meetup. Everyone gets together and does something.
I think it comes down to
not a tournament. He can't win.
Right. He needs to, there needs to be a winner.
There has to be a win.
Yeah, you're right.
I think he also looks at SP. SP organizes these tournaments that we were talking about before for her company. Like, she's a big part of that. He looks at her and is like, I can do that job too.
Yeah.
And he's going to realize just how much work that actually is to do that. But he's going to pretend like it was the plan all along. Similarly to how we got the roast of Steel Toe turned into like a walk down memory lane where not even all the hosts that he said would show up. Showed up.
Like that's what I mean. This will not go off the way he's advertising it right now. No way.
Close this year to not having Dr. Steve at Hackamania, and that would have been a blow.
Yep.
It would have been somebody that we advertised being there that ended up couldn't making it last minute.
Yep.
Thankfully, that didn't happen. So I'm now two for two of everything that we've ever promised at an event I've thrown happens. nothing Aaron says is going to happen ever comes out that way.
And you want to get that to receive a private jet in order to get him there in time to do his show. I mean, you went above and beyond to make sure that happened. I made that joke on a show, and then I heard, I think, Blind Mike repeating it. Yeah, apparently they got him a private jet. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Speaking of making it happen, let's check in with the goal, and then we'll get out of here.
Me and the fam got a new dog. Ironically, it is a whippet named Snickle Fritz.
Me and the fam.
I didn't think it was funny that his cat was called Button.
Made it for his penis.
Yeah, Nick's cat's called Button.
Until the 1960s, approximately 1 million Jews lived in Iran and other Arab countries, having arrived in the region more than 2,000 years before Etikul. Nowadays, ITS estimated around 15,000 remain.
Yeah, they're not going to admit it if you ask them. I got to run to the bathroom real quick, but I will be back because there's one more thing I want to talk about with you guys.
All right. We'll work through these.
We'll blow through these.
In a perfect world, in 4 years from now, HBO will have a special docuseries about the Rakita family being found in the house because of a mysterious gas leak.
Jesus.
That is what Iz and the Kiwi people want.
I'm also hoping that April gets another mugshot. If I could frame that Coke whore, I would.
I don't know. If only there was like a true crime show, like, but just for men, that would cover a case like that. But yes. I don't know anyone who hosts anything like that.
Creep off.
What?
Patrick! This weirdo from Minnesota just showed up. Why is what little hair he has up front spiked up like he's getting ready to take his third grade school picture?
I do love Aaron's spiked hair.
We are proud to support trans athletes like Aaron.
Yes. Scott supports the trans.
I'm Sucha dude. A really straight, cool dude. Just always doing manly dude things. Like banging, women and drinking, Budweiser, sticking my penis in their vaginas and stuff. So is all dude.
If more Jew news from Goldfold.
In Israel, Jews often call Arabs cousin, and that is because, as Arabs, they are our cousins. They are not our cousins by virtue of them being Muslims. We do not call Malaysians or Pakistanis cousin.
Because while they are Muslims, they are not Arabs. In short, we do not call any of the Muslims who are not Arab cousin. And we would call any Arab, regardless of his or her religious
affiliation, cousin. It is just that simple. Less wings, Mr. French, and more books. Or get books on tape. You Winter Heaven Hicks are adorable. Homdi Dala. All hail the Grand Mifid Du.
If you make a joke about anything he says, he thinks it's serious and feels like he has to write in like passages of information. No one gives a fuck. Literally no one gives a fuck.
Why the HE double hockey stick is up with not being able to rewind, Melton.
Imagine being that new here. Mark Davis, as a proper homage to Aaron, I think you should do a TLP episode where all three of you drink glasses of maraschino cherry juice on ice. Opie voice cheer.
Abortions! Carl's an abortion guy. This is very triggering for me. I was aborted, but then I became a miracle baby. Yay!
I too am a miracle baby.
Disgusting. Coco McGee, gay, bad. Abortion, bad. Polycule cheating, divorce, premarital sex, all good. Book of the Toe, chapter 1, verse 1.
No, but I stopped doing that, so now it's good. I'm good.
Yes.
I did it and I stopped.
It's wild how he like tries to be edgy, but also straight edge at the same time. Yeah. Right.
All right, got an email here from Safe Sport. Let's see. You are super cool. Yep, that true. Huge pecker. Could hurt other boxers. Yep, true. We need you to coach again. Yeah, so this all checks out.
Yeah, he does keep framing it as I'm going to get it back when he had it.
Never had it.
Yeah, he never had Safe Sport.
Well, he's
accreditation.
Well, it was by default, you've got it. If you're just an athlete, you don't need to go through that process. So he is banned from being a part of USA Boxing. He's below where he was before.
Yes.
The golf course doesn't know I'm running a tournament. I hope no one calls and gets it canceled. I'll no longer be a golfer. Who I am then?
So you're saying it's Pandora's suspension? If he would have never applied, he would have never found out he couldn't be in the organization. Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, got it.
Carl, abortion guy, you don't understand. I need them to pay so I can see the numbers coming, and I said people can get their money back. The tow army can also just turn up for free. No limit.
Oh, a mandolin nappy is back.
Uh-oh. Don't worry, you shitheads. We're going to split up in two groups of eight. Eight with three sets of clubs. Each group will have two carts with two people hanging off the sides. We will assign a club to each player.
It'll look like one of those Indian trains.
Yes, yes. Everyone's just shitting everywhere.
Not only are the people I get to host my show functionally retarded and easily manipulated, but I also ensure their hairlines are as challenged as mine.
He's right. I use spray to color in my bald spots when I stream to the sixes of fans in my chat. It really bothers me. So I told Michaeline about it during my show. Just like Aaron, I too was cucked out of a full head of hair.
Do you have permission to use that voice on this show?
I don't even know what that means. Anonymous, maybe it's thousands of Hungarian forint or pesos. What's a Hungarian forint?
The currency.
Yeah, I just don't even, I never heard of that. I've never been to Hungary.
Papa Carl, it's me, Carl Jr. Hamburger. Why did you kill me? I'm eternally in limbo with the other unbaptized babies scraped and vacuumed into nothingness. It's so cold here, Papa Carl. So cold.
It's fucked up that you're laughing at that.
I didn't know the Becky Monster was going to be my aborted kid. What an arc. What a story arc for that guy.
Shroom Diff Nuclear, this is a formal complaint from the Cardiff Electric Network and Friends. Letting Chad remove Uncle Electric from Super Tips was nefarious. Chad stinks.
That is true.
Yeah, he could make money with that potato. I don't know why he's... Drew Peanuts, Moody adds nothing to this show, and you both know it.
You didn't see the chart from 2 weeks ago? Are you crazy?
Come on. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, that is a bitch move by Chad, not allowing Cardiff Electric voice to be on his show. That's surprisingly bitchy.
We'll put it back. We'll just sneak it back in there. So Thorough Joe Burrow, SP snuck into Nick's DMs. LOL. Hi, Aaron. Is that what you want to talk about?
So Thorough Joe Burrow, that's what I wanted to talk about before we left today.
I have the video if you want it. I just skipped it.
I love it.
You want to watch? We'll watch it after this.
Yeah.
Spider McGee, new member. Thank you very much. The One Pun. Thanks for the Friday entertainment, fellas. Between his time on Kiwi and Reddit, where does he find time for SP, golf, the gym, or his kids? Yeah, how's he going to fit coaching back into his schedule now that Thursday evenings and nights are for the membership? Like, this is...
Is that official? He's the Thursday night he's doing the member show now?
Yeah. That's our Thursday afternoon, or I don't...
So he's doing 2 days, he does it on 4 days
Thursday,
a week.
He does it on Thursday evenings because he has the kids on Sunday, and so he used to
He's literally not allowed to go on Thursday nights to the gym, because that coaching class is there and Coach Scott had to ban him from it.
Wow.
And, so, and he spars every once in a while on a Sunday and he's like, I thought I wasn't allowed at the gym. It's like
when he gives up that Thursday afternoon members show, that's when you know things are fine. Up until then, he's bluffing.
He's going to go back and they're like, did you guys miss me? Coach Aaron's back. And they're all going to be like, ugh.
Oh, Chad's responding in the comments right now.
Chad is?
God. I don't pay attention to anything Cardiff does. I don't want him on my show. He's a clout chaser. I don't want to promote him, period.
Stop promoting Chad. You'll make money. People, they can make him say dumb shit. It's like, do you want to promote Rob Saul? That's not. Coach Plaque or Plague, what do you think of Aaron adopting all these phrases he learned on Kiwi Farms and Kiwi Casino and overusing them a bit? Yeah, press X to doubt.
I wanted to talk about this.
He wins without trying.
Jannies. This is the culture he's picking up because he's spending so much time with these new friends of his. Like, it's a parasocial relationship that he's built with them around hating Nick. And that's such a big part of his day that it's seeped into his language.
So what was he saying? Press X for...
Press X to doubt.
Didn't someone ask him what that's from and he didn't know?
And he had to Google it. It's from L.A. Noir. It's a detective game.
Xbox game like 10, even longer ago. 15 years ago.
Maybe. He's literally Steve Buscemi with the skateboard saying hey to the kids.
Exactly. The Luigi wins by doing nothing. He doesn't know what that means or where that's from. He's trying to fit into this culture that he just doesn't have any background for.
Mike Whipke, doesn't Aaron understand that his audience only has so much disposable income to fund his life with? it seems like it's unlimited. Seems like they're not running out anytime soon. Coach Tits McGee, April should tell her story like a whistleblower in a documentary. Shadowy figure and voice changer. Gives her a little protection telling her story. I mean, no, it doesn't. Everybody would know exactly who it is.
Yeah, we know, what she looks like.
April A in a black, dark face.
Well, I wonder who that could be. Naturally negative. Thank you for commenting Aaron's single-player Calvin Ball games. It's always fascinating to watch a child lose in a game where they made the rules. Yes, exactly. That's what's nuts to me, is he sets up his own demise. Diablo Sandwich, Piggy Boys, we're just not interested in Nick taking the bait and freaking at every provocation. Also, Piggy Boys, let's zoom in on Aaron's tooth.
Yes. Show about Aaron.
When they asked him about his missing tooth, he told a story about a tooth that's not missing.
Right.
That's hilarious. Like that's Aaron Immel in a nutshell.
The difference here is that Nick is a little bit more understandable in his responses to provocation. Like, he's in a sore spot at the moment, and you could provoke him into exploding about that. Aaron's a dweeb that lies for no reason. Like, that's more fascinating to me than poking a guy who's going through.
Which makes you want to know what did happen to that tooth.
Right.
What really happened to that tooth? Did SP's box bite back? Profit from pessimism. This is Melton's buddy from the Bahamas. Me, Ashley, and Meanie want on the show to talk to him about all the crap he has talked about us. Carl, I will email you.
All right.
Is this addicted to profits?
It sounds like it. Bahamas.
Me and Ashley and Meanie all want to come on the show to talk about him and the crap he has talked about us. This will go well.
Great. Let's go.
Arkanistov's theorem. Aaron has the energy of a try-hard youth pastor. That is it. That's great. Is dead on. Profit from pessimism. You know, Melton didn't pay his taxes for 7 years. More to come.
That's illegal, Patrick. Is that true?
This is how they tell you?
Dude, I'm pro IRS, so I don't like that. That's fucked up, man.
Six string man. Aaron never mentions Blind Mike as one of his detractors. Thoughts as to why?
That's a good question.
I think he mentioned him a couple times, maybe.
It's been a while.
I think he mentioned him a couple times. Diablo Sandwich, Carl, on behalf of American taxpayers, thank you.
You're very welcome, sir.
Is that with regards to the abortion or your stance on?
So.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Terry Knee, was the baby a girl? Then Moody is okay with it.
Yeah, that is his culture.
It's not his Moody? Fault. Wow. Josh, one day your pride will soften and you will allow us to rewind. Not as long as you keep super chatting about it. I'll get no super chats about the rewind feature if it's on. I know how to make money. JC Trout, who will finish higher on Super Tip, Karmic X or Mimic X, aka Chad? I think Chad's leading now on the 24.
Chad's leading today. Chad's in third place for the last 24 hours, but Karmic is still beating him for the last 7 days. But Chad's only done one show.
7 days, so that's not fair. Amanda Lynn Nappy, I hate missing TLP, but sometimes I'm busy. Super Tip.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, you want to watch the slam piece text cope?
Because this is just... When we talk about what's annoying about Aaron and all of his lies, this is the epitome of it. This is the perfect example of Aaron bringing up something that he didn't need to bring up, trying to clown Nick about it, and then Nick going, well, I have the receipts, actually. You're lying, and here's proof that you're a liar.
Yeah. All right.
Or worse, Aaron didn't know he was lying, and Slampiece lied to him.
Slampiece lied to him about sliding into Nick's DMs.
Yeah, so let's watch this.
Why won't it play? Oh, I keep clicking on it on stream.
Right. Does that mean you don't love me anymore? I mean, if you really did pay all of them to a scam thing, then yeah, I've lost massive amounts of respect for you. You're just a sex thing at this point. I don't believe her for a second that she paid it. She's smarter than I am. If I'm smart enough to understand this shit, she can figure it out. This one gets it. Oh, by the way, if you didn't know, SP runs the show. She tells me exactly what to do. She tells me what I can and can't talk about, the whole thing.
He's done this several times, but yeah. Like, why keep addressing it if it's not true?
Correct.
Like,
because she has input stuff, like the wig on the MyPillow guy.
Just after the vacation, he told a story, and she texted him, "That's not true. You passed out and wouldn't get up to go. We were going to go out, and you passed out." Now, his vacation was 2 or 3 nights. So one of the nights they were going to go out and do something, he passed out drunk. And she texted in live on the show to call him a liar.
Is that the same night as this little piggy or a different one? Because that's 2 nights he wouldn't have been around for.
Another night that they were at a bar and he wanted to get a bottle of liquor and go back to the hotel room. It's like, are you a vacation guy? I don't know. Carl's an abortion guy, but I don't know if you're a vacation.
Yeah, what's more expensive, vacations or abortions? I don't even know.
It's another one. I get to laugh at people. Like, for my job, like, when my job is over, if I catch anything online, my second job becomes laughing at desperate people who I've broken their brains.
What do you mean if I catch something online?
I know.
Online nonstop.
That's a tell right there. Anyone who tells you, they're just like, I mean, people send me stuff. I'm not even looking for it, but I learned like these things. That's a tell that they're actively seeking information. And we proved that obviously last week.
Not all. I mean, people send me stuff every day that I'm not aware of.
I agree. I get sent stuff too, but I don't like make it a point that I'm just like, guys, I'm not even looking for this stuff. I don't even pay attention when I'm online. I do pay attention. I like it.
Cardiff's kids sent me the screenshot of his missing tooth.
I don't think it's a bad thing to pay attention. Like, I was watching Brendan Schaub today because I'm like, I might cover more Brendan Schaub this week on WATP. I'm not a fan of it, but I'm paying attention. I want to know what's going on. Right.
There's too much to pay attention to all of it while you're watching. Like, it's just too much. So you do have to rely on people sending you stuff. But he is plugged in 24/7. Like, he's reading Reddit, like, deep Reddit comments. He's getting things from... Like, it's a constant, even if it's just people sending him stuff, he's constantly reading stuff people are sending him.
He's on it.
Like, no, SP runs his whole show. She runs the whole thing. She tells him exactly what to say. I'm like, first of all, do you know in the nearly 20 years I've been doing this, how many people have
20 years now?
Oh, yeah. He started at 19 at Aaron in the afternoon in college.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
To tell me what to say and how many have succeeded? Zero. To my own detriment sometimes.
That's not true. Because when April was on the show, she told him apparently to lie about the drug use. She told him to stop talking about Chad. Didn't he try to say that the whole reason they stopped going after Chad is because April wanted him to stop talking about Chad?
Yes. And he also, when April officially was off the show, he's like, great, now I can do the show the way I want to do it. The show's going to be so much better now that April's not here telling me what to do. And now he's sitting here telling us no one tells me what to do. Well, that was a selling point last year.
There was a famous clip of April saying, never stop making fun of Chad. Keep going after him. This is amazing. Like, so I don't know what's true. I don't like...
Or even Ashley calling into his show when he was on the radio and telling him not to talk about certain stuff. Like, it's constant.
I think somebody's life is falling apart. And they need a scapegoat. Poor baby. Or Nick is just upset that when he tried to creep on SP and send her a bunch of DMs and she blocked him for being creepy when he said, "What's your story?" I think he got a little salty. Nick doesn't understand.
Steel-toe morning show, he should rebrand to This Little Nicky or something like that. Because his show has turned to just being about Nick.
He would be more successful if he did that.
He would do a roundtable show about Nick and have Keanu on and all that.
Right.
He could have Null on from Kiwi Farms.
Yeah, but exactly. That show would do way bigger numbers than your show.
Do that.
Dude, he said we didn't talk about it because it's so ridiculous, but we played a clip earlier where he said our only paycheck is This Little Piggy. It's the only way any of us make any money is doing the show. I would guess... If he started doing a weekly show where it's just making fun of Nick Riccata, he'd make more money doing that than all of his Steel Toe stuff combined. He could quit doing it.
Yes.
He could literally just do a once a week show.
And it would take the pressure of having to talk about Nick on this show, on his Steel Toe Morning Show, completely. But he won't be able to stop himself. He's
a 50-50 parent. He doesn't have enough time to.
He'll do that weekly discussion, but then he'll also talk about Nick nonstop on his Steel Toe Morning. Yeah. He doesn't have anything left.
The same way, on his members show, he does the same stuff he's going to do the next day on his show. Like, he can't not talk about it twice. He's like, oh, there's new people watching. I got to fill them in and all the.
I've literally almost stopped talking about Aaron on WATP. We did do a segment this past week because he was talking some crazy shit about me being an abortion guy. But for the most part, I don't talk about him anymore because I get all my fix in on this show. So I can talk about other things.
I cover things specifically that I probably won't go over on this show.
Out of a woman and gets them hooked. He can't really get a girl.
When it comes to Aaron, every accusation is a confession. Almost time he's saying this is how other people are, like, that is usually very applicable to himself.
To sum it up, basically Nick put out the text messages. She followed him first. She messaged him first. He said, I'm surprised you're messaging me. And she was like, yeah, there's a lot of fake stuff going on around here. And it's like, then he did say, like, what's your story? But then I guess it cut to months later where she had said on a show, or Aaron had said she said on a show, that Nick followed her first. And then Nick had screenshots of that, of her following him.
Yeah, so let me read it to you. So
I can pull it up, I guess. But
yeah, well, I mean, it's got a real name on there, whatever. But
she's everyone knows her name. He's said her name on the show.
Okay.
Like, she's inserted herself into these discussions. It's not a secret anymore. It's Anne. Her name is Anne.
So Anne,
if she marries Aaron, she'll be yet another AI. So he doesn't need to throw away any of his monographed towels.
It's true.
He could just give her April's ones, which were hand-me-downs from Ashley.
Yeah, how does he find his girlfriends from the telephone book? You're right. They all start with A. A1 Plumbing. Sounds like a good plumber.
He is going backwards, though.
Montagraph towels.
he's going backwards. Like, he's gone A-S, then A-P, then A-N. Right. He'll be like an Abigail next or something.
More alphabet talk on this show is what everyone's clamoring for.
Agatha incoming. Agatha Amal.
Do you want me to just read it, or do you want to pull it up?
Yeah, I can't find it on his timeline. Go ahead.
It's on Reddit. It's on the subreddit.
Yeah, go ahead. Just read
it. So Anne, it was the first one to message Nick on August 12th. It says, thanks for the follow. And he writes back, no problem. And then she writes, been following the news a bit. Glad to hear your kids are home. Nick writes back, thanks. It's a relief. Whole thing was bullshit. And then he writes to her, got to admit, I was a little surprised to see a follow/message from you. And she writes back, understandable, but you're right. A lot of bullshit out there. So this is a very normal interaction with two people who are involved in similar people, similar groups, just kind of saying like, hey, we don't have problems, right? Like, this is just fucked up. I'm like, yeah, no one's hitting on anyone. No, like, this is just a normal back and forth.
This is August of 2024.
Correct.
And you can have these interactions with people you dislike. You can empathize with their position and be like, it really, like, I don't like you, but it
I don't
sucks
think
that you're going
Nick
through
dislikes
this.
Slam Piece, or I don't know what she thinks about him, but it's like, they don't know each other.
Right.
Yeah. So it is whatever. So then he writes, 2 days after she wrote back, understandable, but you're right, a lot of bullshit out there. So 2 days later, or no, I'm sorry, the next day, he goes, so what's your story? Is that a creepy thing to ask? Why are you reaching out to me? What's going on? Yeah. What are we doing? Why are we having this back and forth?
The pleasantries are over. Like, what's up? What did you need to talk to me about?
Yeah. Right.
So then a week goes by and he writes, I got to ask, doesn't it bother you that it refers to you as Slam Piece?
Fair question.
And I guess that's when he got blocked.
And then I guess
it was a nice try.
Aaron said something on his show about Nick following her, and then Nick posted the screenshot of her following him without him following her, showing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. So again, it's just another example of Aaron. Like, he loves to use the word narrative. A lot of these guys do. Chad, if you're still here, a lot of these guys like to say narrative, and they're like, oh, they're setting the narrative. We don't show receipts. Like, that's the difference between this little piggy and anything Aaron's doing is that we say something.
Permission to share those, Nick. We need to get permission. And it's like you said, he's either gaslighting, which he does about everything, yep. or he didn't know, which is even worse.
Right. Or she lied to him and goes, yeah, he's sneaking into my DMs. I had to block him. Just like, well.
Carl, you've let these super tips pile up again. This is.
I never been to Hungary, nor have been hungry.
Coach Lev Kumar, I'm donating because this is not on Carl's channel.
See, fucking Red Bar was right. God damn it.
Let's get that leaderboard popping.
Me and Aaron are best friends. We are both cucks. I played with my smelly small pud while Andy Perez, Worski, hooked up with two black hookers. But we are both white nationalists.
So thorough, Joe Burrow. Can we get a Carl's aborted baby voice?
I told my chat today I had to step away and take a call from my attorney. Then I said it's none of their business. Feel bitches.
Sorry, what were you going to say about the
voice? I was going to say, if you do create a voice, I feel like it should have a German accent. Baby German accent.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be rough.
She likes what she gets from me when the goal is met. But of course, then she feeds it to Aaron.
Jesus Christ. Dustin, I just want to watch the show from the beginning, so hurry up and end it. We're about to. Yep. Mark Davis, all of the expressions and mannerisms are so effeminate, it still fascinates me that he claims to be manly. You could also be classy and drink Luxardo cherry juice, big sauce. Keep your pinky out, though. I always keep my pinky out. Carl, where can people find you, and what do you got coming up? I know you want to plug it all again. I know how you love to plug.
Whoarethese.com is where you want to go. That's the website that talks about all the things that I'm up to. Aside from the Creepoff, thecreepoff.com, go there and vote for Carl, please. We do have a weekly contest on the Creepoff, Mondays at 1 o'clock on my channel and on the Creepoff channel. But I want to talk about the live shows that we're doing. We will be in Boston. There's only about a dozen or so tickets remaining for that. It's June 21st, WTBLive.com. Come see us with the Dick Show and Blind Mike. We'll be live in Boston. And then Detroit, we're coming back to Ferndale at the Magic Bag. Fourth year in a row, we've sold out the first three. This year, we're bringing Dave Landau with us as well. So if you go to our website, whoarethese.com, there's a link on the homepage, or you can go to themagicbag.com to purchase your tickets. These just went on sale on Tuesday. We only have, last I checked, 8 VIP tickets left. So that's going to sell out immediately, and tickets are selling very fast for that. Like I said, we've sold out the last 3 years. So if you want to come see us in Detroit, September 12th, get on that.
Nobody likes you. Sorry, go ahead.
I bet you don't even have a golf tournament at any of those events.
Correct.
Yeah, loser. Nobody likes onions. Has a members only show tonight. Give us a like and a sub on this. Moody, anything you want to say to these fine people?
There's a show in town, it's going down. Every week we're back on solid ground. Steel toe slipping, but we're gripping. Got the tea to spill, it's always flipping. From April's scrim to Aaron's glee. Oh, this drama's just a spree. Polydrama, legal trauma. Another win, oh, that's the karma. This little piggy went to YouTube. This little piggy's on her own now. This little piggy begging for dollars. And this little piggy's breaking down wow. Every week we're Piggy Show! Revenge porn to felony. It's a circus, can't you see? The toe is bent, the goal is spent. His empire crumbles, all hell sent. April's playlist on repeat. Aaron's lies we can't defeat. The countdown's on, it won't take long to see this piggy squeal his song. This little piggy went to YouTube. This little piggy's on Rumble. Little piggy ain't missing a thing. Just sit back, laugh, and watch the king.